This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of sh**.
PFW in Progress.
Get poop again!
He called the sh**.
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shut up!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack packs. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. The part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for happy after an hour. That little boy's got a thing. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, Hart, want to touch the hiney?
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart here, the A-team. I don't know. Anyway, welcome to the show, and we've got a lot of emails coming in. I know everyone's excited about this Colts game. I am. It's already heated up, this whole back and forth tug of war.
Parcells
not only of the game on the field, but the war of words, the war of actions. The Patriots released their injury report yesterday. 17 questionable, one probable. We all know who that is, Brady. Total of 18 people. Surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, the Colts issued their report. 17 people, questionable, one out, which is, of course, Monty Reagor. But the number, exactly the same, and obviously a little shot at the Patriots organization. If you're going to put everybody on your report, we're going to do the same. So we'll talk about that, maybe the importance or lack of importance of injury reports. We've had that debate before. Usually it's me against Pop Perillo for that one. But Andy and I will talk about it. Of course, you can email in at web.
Who's on the side that they're irrelevant?
Paul thinks they're irrelevant. He thinks that
he's aligned with Bill Belichick based on his comments today.
Yes, he is. He thinks they should do away with them, that they're just ridiculous.
They should, if everybody's going to lie and cheat with them.
Well, the question then is, how do you make that information not valuable? You know what I'm saying? That's always been the thing that the NFL's concerned with, is injury can be valuable information. How do we get the value out of it? Anyway, we'll get into that. The email address is webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Phone number 508-543-7482. Just a programming note, Gary. We're going to hold are we streaming out the 2 o'clock show? Yeah, so at 2 o'clock, a little change. Today's Thursday, right? So we're going to do Around the NFL at 1.
Yep.
And then at 2 o'clock, the big show, Glenn Ordway's show from EEI, will be in here. And
you're
so
making my point.
Instead of hearing John Rook, Patriots Playbook, you'll hear the live feed from WEEI, the local sports radio talk show.
They're following us up. We should call them the little show.
Yeah.
We're the big show around here.
In this house, we're the big show.
My house.
We'll make sure they know that.
That's funny because the A-team used to precede the big show.
That's true. Yeah.
Arnold and Andelman.
Yeah. So they'll be here at 2 o'clock, so a little bit of little change up.
That was the last time that show was even mildly.
By the way, anyone see the gubernatorial debate last night?
They're very exciting to watch.
Grace Ross looks like Eddie Andelman.
I saw highlights.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite line was from Healy. Christy, you have one idea, and that's one more than Duvall, who has none.
Duvall has none. Otherwise,
be any less mature, by the way, though. These are supposed to be people that I want running my state, and it's like me and Paul up there arguing. it's embarrassing,
you know,
to the state.
Not to turn this show into a political show, but it's a disgrace that that's who we have to choose from in the state of Massachusetts.
And to tie it back into the Patriots, I saw that commercial for the first time with Tom Brady.
Manny Ortiz.
Poverty, get rid of poverty and vote. Yeah. And it shows him in a line, basically waiting to vote, looking ahead, and everybody in front of him is a celebrity. It's
I didn't see
Julia
that.
Roberts, just probably 10 different celebrities. Ugh. Gary, have you seen it?
Okay.
Anyway.
And he was also voted third on the Boston Globe's list of most fashionable and stylish Bostonians.
Wonderful.
Do you know John Malkovich is a Bostonian?
Is he really?
Yeah, because he was on the list. He was like 10th or 12th.
He's a cool guy.
I looked for Gary. I couldn't find him.
Okay, so we've got that to talk about. Of course, the game coming up on Sunday night. Brady versus Manning. Belichick versus Dungy.
Some
Adam Vinatieri returns. You know, all the different scenarios.
Don't talk to
the
me.
Fact that the Colts can't
stop
Bill
said
the run.
Yesterday.
An up-and-coming Patriots team. The offense looks like it's clicking. We'll see. Good test for the defense. How good actually are they? So it's just a huge week leading up to this game Sunday night. We're all thrilled. And me and Andy Hart are going to be talking with you. Is Pop coming by?
We're all thrilled.
The other two should be down.
We're terribly excited.
Come and do the picks at 1 o'clock. Okay. Andy, you were at the press conference today. Now, yesterday, Bill Belichick was very cranky.
As cranky as Paul Perillo.
Was he as cranky today, and what was talked about?
He was not as cranky. Kind of a generic press conference.
It is what it is.
From his opening thing, they were working on third down, the Colts. They can go into third down mode at any time, the no huddle. They score against everyone. Tough to defend. Some Dallas Clark talk about how the different ways they use Dallas Clark, whether he's as a tight end or split out wide in the slot. I asked him a little bit about Tully and his kind of growth this season, and he said it's basically been about having more opportunities in practice, sort of a different scenario with the outside linebackers this year. And then John Tomasi asked him about the injury report. And, you know, said, is there anything to be read into the fact that both teams list 17 guys as questionable? And Bill said, really? And then he said, no. He totally disregards the injury report, prepares for everyone, all 53 men on the opposing team, you know, talked about that there's a greater chance that they play than there is that the team uses its hands team, but we practice the hands team every week.
Right. I agree. I'll bet you that Belichick is honest when he says he disregards
right.
the opponent's injury report, but he certainly doesn't disregard his own.
Right, because he's smarter than everyone.
Well,
right?
No, but he does things with the injury report like all coaches do. I mean, they pay attention to who they're putting on their report and mm-hmm. what the status is and all that.
And you have to manage it a little bit because the league keeps track of the trends of 50-50,
you
how many
to.
Play, how many
yeah.
don't.
Yeah.
So, but in the locker room, one of the big stars of the day was Tully Bantakane. He spoke about the birth of his son, Tivion, I believe it is, on Monday, 30 minutes before the game.
Well, so maybe that's why he had
such well, that's
good
what he
game.
Said.
Yeah.
He was text. He got a text message that had the pictures 30 minutes before the game. He talked about not being there. The baby was due last Thursday. When it wasn't born on Thursday, he'd hoped it would, you know, then go all the way till Tuesday when he was able to get back. Obviously, it didn't. You know, it started to. They kind of knew.
They'll never live that one down.
Well, he said his wife, fiance, was okay with it. You know, she probably would have preferred that he was there, but they talked about it. And he said he thinks the team would have been fine if he had decided he wasn't going to go to the game. But he decided he was just going to go. Hope that he wasn't born. When he found out he was born, just kind of used that as motivation. Obviously, went out at his best game of the season. Had a couple sacks. I think he put it, I went out and balled against the Vikings.
Excuse me?
Balled.
I don't know what that means.
Like Paul.
And he said, well, at least my son will have a good story when he, you know, he'll be able to tell you the day he was born. His dad was, you know, getting a couple sacks in a big game on Monday Night Football against
that's
the
good.
Vikings.
Yeah.
But everybody's doing well. You know, the family's home, and, you know, he talked about that. And, you know, it's a nice little story. He talked about flying back with the Crafts, was very impressed with the plane.
Oh, he got to. Well, that's good.
He said Mr. Kraft knew what he was doing. He said, we got back fast. That plane is beautiful. It goes fast. You feel no turbulence. He was very much in awe of the plane.
That's so nice. So the organization flew him back.
Thank
yes.
you,
yeah, that's nice.
He said he got to. He actually arrived at Women and Infants in Rhode Island, I think he said around 3 in the morning, and first saw his son, who was sleeping, and he said he didn't miss me. So, you know, it was a. I'm sure there's some. You know, his wife probably feels a little
fiance,
a little so-so about it. But everybody else, you know,
you're like Tom Casale.
She, I don't know why. I don't want to be there. I want to be there after everything is cleaned up and it's a baby.
I don't want to be in the delivery room.
When it's a nice, cute baby and it's all cleaned up and wrapped in a nice, clean blanket, bring me it.
I know the thing is now for the guy to be in the delivery room. I'm old-fashioned. I'll be out there in the waiting room.
My dad was at dinner having a steak when I was born, and that's the way it should be.
I think my dad golfed. I'm not kidding.
I think that's the way it should be. I don't want to see that. I don't want to be any part of that.
Yeah.
But, no, it was a nice little story, so you'll be reading about that in all the papers tomorrow, how daddy went out and bawled while his son was being born.
Okay. Yesterday it was kind of a quiet locker room. A lot of guys available today.
More guys available.
Yeah.
Although some people aren't talking. You know, Mike Vrabel turned down, didn't want to talk.
Okay.
Which I find interesting because he's usually good for once a week to hold court. Artrell Hawkins spoke. Ellis Hobbs spoke. Josh Miller spoke.
How about Guskowski? Was he out there?
I did not see him.
Good.
Wouldn't expect to see him.
Good.
Nothing good can come from that. But
right.
I know for a fact the powers that be, which, you know, obviously leads back to Bill Belichick, have pretty much put the clamps on this week.
Tighten
things down very much.
We have a latest weather report for Sunday night. Last time I heard it was going to be quite cold.
Gary, can you close your free cell and check the weather report on weather.com? Actually, with Windows, you can just minimize it.
Oh.
But actually, our chalk talk, we get a chalk talk every week that comes from the coaching assistants.
Yes.
And for the first time, it had to get sent from the coaching assistants to the coach's assistant for approval.
Really?
Before they were allowed to send it to us.
What do we get, the stretch play?
No, we used that last week. Now we're doing the Jets. We're a week ahead.
Okay.
So it'll be a Jets defensive play, I think.
Okay.
But it was it had to be cleared through the proper channels before it was able to get to us.
Interesting. All right. Mike from BU is on the phone. This is PFW in progress.
How you guys doing?
Good, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Nothing much. I just...
Now, Mike, where are you at BU? Are you on campus?
No, I'm still in my apartment. I got class in about 45 minutes. So I wanted to call you guys a little early.
What's your major?
I'm a biophysics major.
Biophysics. Whoa. At BU?
Yeah.
Cool.
You're a smart guy.
Not too fun.
Good luck with that.
Thank you, guys. But yeah, while I was watching the Broncos game with the Colts, obviously, I was just shocked at the fact that the Broncos had no pre-snap movements. One play really stuck out to me, that the double move Reggie Wayne on Darren Williams with the pump on Manning, and Manning stood there, he's making the audible, 5-6 seconds, and the Broncos just did not move.
That's interesting.
And that kind of stood out to me. They kind of just said, well, here's our defense, they're physical, and we're going to do what we got to do, and we're going to match up with you just one-on-one and all this stuff. And I just think that they had an awful approach to their defense, and I really think that the Patriots are going to be able to handle the Colts. I really think that it's going to be more of a blowout than people think it's going to be.
As far as the defense, the Broncos, I sort of agree with you on that. And I think a lot of teams, when facing the Colts, fall into that trap of getting caught up in Manning's histrionics and all the things he's doing and get worried about getting caught out of position because you don't necessarily know when he's going to snap the ball, and it takes them out of some of their what they might normally do in terms of faking some blitzes and moving around and showing different coverages. I think they almost get caught in awe of the Colts and just want to get out there and get set and get worried about getting caught out of position, and it hurts them. And I also think what hurt them was the fact that Darren Williams was playing so far off of Reggie Wayne the entire game, especially late. You know, it's a tie ball game, and you're playing 10, 12 yards off of Reggie Wayne, and Peyton Manning's just taking 10, 12 yards at a pop, moving down the field for the game-winning field goal. So, yeah, I think that Denver defense is a lot better than they played, and I didn't think they were aggressive enough or played their game. They kind of were catching the Colts, and I don't think you can win that. If you let the Colts take it to you, they're going to put a lot of points on the board and beat you.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Even with the speed and quickness of those linebackers, you still got to make adjustments.
Right, you still got to try to be aggressive, make adjustments, play your game, and I didn't think they do that. And I think you're right, Mike. I think the Patriots will do a better job of that. I think these veteran defensive players and the Belichick schemes will certainly not find themselves in awe of anything Manning can do. Now, that's not to say they're going to make all the plays or anything of that nature. There's still matchup problems that might come up. But I don't think you'll be questioning, why aren't they doing this? Why? I think they'll do what they want to do and have a good scheme.
Yeah, definitely. I want to also make a little side note on for Tom. Every single time he has a rant about Bill Polian, it's hilarious. It's so funny. Tell him to do it more often.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we need, more of Tom ranting on this show. I think we have enough of that.
Well, good. We'll push his buttons for you, Mike. Thanks for calling.
No problem, you guys. You have a good day, man. All
look right. at Mike, douchebag.
Mike from BU.
A hypothetical that was brought up in the locker room. If Bill Polian...
I go in, I pull that lever down, and I say, there, I've done my duty.
If Bill Polian grabs me by the neck or something, and then I punch him and beat him up, would I be fired?
No, that's self-defense.
That's what I said.
That's absolutely self-defense.
Okay.
If you punch him first, you'll be fired.
No, but if he lays his hands on me, if he chokes me, grabs me...
You're under direct orders to beat the crap out of
okay.
him.
Okay. That's on the record. PFW in progress, Thursday, November 2nd. In case this needs to be used as Exhibit A in any court proceedings.
Do you have any plans of instigating that?
No.
No?
But he's a volatile personality, and I think it's a legitimate possibility.
Okay.
I think you'd be the one he'd be going after, but...
He might. And I'm not that far away from him in the press box.
That'd be a good fight.
Oh, I'd kill him.
I bet you he's crazy.
I don't care so much.
He could pull out a knife or something out of his, like, shoe.
He better kill me, because if he doesn't, he's dead. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com, and I suppose we should get to them because at 1 o'clock we'll be going around the NFL and doing our weekly picks, so let's get right to it, shall we? Karthik from California says he's been a passive listener and reader all along the season, and thanks for reading my question. My name sounds unusual because I am from India and work here for the past few years and have been a great fan of football, especially the Patriots. Sorry, Tom, soon you might need to travel to India for NFL games because I know a lot of Indian people are already hooked on the NFL. Hey, that's cool.
We're big in India?
You know, there's a lot of people in India.
What's the official language of India?
I don't know. Indian?
I don't know. I was asking. You're the worldly guy who's supposed to have the answers to these things.
As of now, all Sunday...
Once I figure out the weather, I'll find that out.
As of now, all Sunday and Monday night games and all playoff games are being broadcast in India. Cool.
What channel? Let's get that out there just so we don't have another Ask PFW fiasco like we did last week.
What happened?
Was going to Scotland on vacation for the, I think, the Vikings game.
Yeah.
And they wanted to know, would they be able to watch it on TV or is there pubs that carry it there? So I posted that. We got some responses, hundreds. People just crazy. We're big in Scotland. Everybody knows us in Scotland.
Right.
Channel 5. But then there was some confusion because of the World Series. Was it going to be on Channel 5 out of England, or was it not going to be? Were they going to baseball? There was all kinds of confusion. But apparently Channel 5 in England and Scotland airs Monday night games. And major U.S. No, I don't think it's the same Channel 5. And I was, there must, I mean, they, you know, sounds like they sound now carry Sunday night, Monday night games in India, so.
That's cool. Karthik and,
What is it? Karthik? How do you spell it?
K-A-R-T-H-I-K. Maybe Karthik? Maybe? I don't know. Agreed Manning could beat us last year, but we had a depleted secondary last year, so I guess we could beat them this year, and definitely it's going to be closer than we expect.
Wow, that's the exact opposite of what Mike just said. Mike just said he thought it was going to be a big blowout. I think that is a key that, you know, Alan Greenberg kind of asked Bill about in the press conference today. The differences in his secondary this year versus last year. Obviously, Bill shot it down and said, you know, last year doesn't mean anything. I'm just worried about this year's game and preparing. But last year at this time, the only guy playing right now who was in the secondary, I believe, was Asante Samuel. I don't think Ellis Hobbs was a regular yet. You know, obviously, Harrison was not playing, and I don't think Hawkins was on the team yet. So,
by the way, India is the second most populated country in the world.
So are we going to have a Patriots.com/India?
Over 1.1 billion people.
Wow.
So that could be number two. You know, maybe we're missing the boat. Instead of going to China, we should be going to India.
Well, I think on the official languages on the right there, English is one of them.
That's right. So
be easier.
I might have to send an appeal to the league. We're probably screwing up here.
India Bowl.
Why are we taking a boat? I thought we were flying.
We're not taking a boat.
Oh, you said we're missing the boat.
Okay, let's get to the next.
What are you looking at over there?
Some dancers on TV.
Escándalo.
John
you know
from Australia.
Don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
We have India, now we have Australia. Hey, guys, send me a photo or link or something where I can see what you guys look like, so I can put some heads to the voices I hear on the podcast.
We really should have our photos on the website.
We thought about it. We should.
I mean,
haven't got around to it.
Not to be an egomaniac, but the more we do these things, the show, the podcast.
Yeah, you're right.
People should be able to look. We should. Should we have bios?
Maybe. You know, we probably should do that.
People really will go, wow, Paul looks old.
Oh. All right. Let's see. Jeff, another email from Australia.
Now, week. I think we should put Australia on the schedule because I would love to go to Australia.
Yeah. He's from Sydney. He says, I noticed that there was some talk about Adam Vinatieri on the show yesterday. Well, I'm one fat Pats fan who's grateful that he plays for the Colts. That end-of-game field goal last week saved my beer money. I watched the replay of the Sunday-Monday night game at a bar here in Sydney with two friends of mine. One is a Bears fan, and the other is a cheesehead. After listening to your picks, I started putting some of my beer money on a few games. Well, this week I had the Cardinals, and things were looking bad. I took Fred's upset on the Raiders and got myself ahead. Then,
as you may have won this week, but don't start gambling with Fred's picks. You will lose in the long run.
You know, Andy,
The guy could lose his house.
Your jealousy and envy.
Wait a minute. Don't listen to me, because I suck at the picks. But if he latches on to you,
I'm winning.
He'll be bankrupt.
I'm winning.
He'll be bankrupt.
All right. Anyway, you know, you couldn't wait to say that because you just can't take it. But anyway, so when the Broncos were the favorites, I had my money on the Colts. My night here was not looking too good when the Colts were losing. So Adam saved my night, got me a lot more beer money. So can someone there give Adam a cheer on Sunday night, at least for getting me my beer money back?
Adam should get cheered, and I would hope that our fans are classy enough to cheer him at the start of the game, early in the game. After that, boo all you want, call him a traitor, call him Benedict Arnold, do whatever you want, but give him the classy, respectful cheer at the start of the game. I made that plea today on Patriots Today.
Well, I'm sure they will get a cheer.
I hope. The only fear I have is...
And that's not what we're looking for.
It's like night game, they get all wound up, they get drunk, and all of a sudden, some idiot leads the idiots into battle. I have the weather report. Would you like it?
And just let me finish up Jeff's email. It gets to a lot of other things, which I'm not going to get to, but his PS says, count me in on the Tom Casale fan club. I love listening to him on the show. When I go to the bar, I use the info I get from the show. All the guys think I'm a guru of the game, thanks to Tom.
I got
to
tell you, if you're listening to Tom, that sounds like a way to get beat up.
Andy cannot take this right now. He just cannot stand
I just think listening to Tom and taking it to a bar would be a way to get beat up.
You wouldn't believe it. First, I get complimented on my upset special of the week.
No,
Tom gets complimented.
There's no jealousy there. I'm trying to save a man.
Take it.
I'm trying to save a man from going bankrupt by telling him not to listen to your picks.
All right, what do you got for the weather report?
Sunday, high, 48, low, 30. 20% chance of precipitation.
So the low is probably going to be around when the Patriots are
it's
playing.
It's going to be right around freezing. It's going to be right around freezing when they play.
What's the chance of precipitation?
20% now, but that'll increase
as
the
week.
No doubt.
Well, we got the switch down in the boiler room. We flip that on. It creates the snow.
I just think you call the devil up on line one. He's on speed dial one, and he creates a snowstorm.
The incantations and... Merlin,
no,
the coach.
I said that, Andy.
We had this picture. Oh, okay. Brian in Colorado says Steve Smith is arguably one of the best wide receivers in football. He drops balls, too. Because we're talking about Watson dropping balls. Probably more than he should. This past weekend, he dropped a couple of passes and fumbled a punt. This was not an aberration. He also makes a lot of big plays. Watson is not in a position to be Steve Smith, but he does have big play potential like Steve Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what was up with Brady's body language Monday night? He seemed to be lifting his leg a lot. Was this a nervous twitch, or has he been spending time in Vegas with Paris Hilton?
He had to
pee. I will be on a plane heading to Boston when you read this for a weekend of great music, good food, and lousy weather. Well, he was using the foot because of the noise in the dome, so that was why he was lifting his leg.
Oh, is that what the guy was talking about? The silent count?
I guess.
Shotgun snaps?
I think maybe he was just trying to get a joke in there.
Oh.
You know.
Why is he coming for great music? Is there some sort of festival or something in Boston this weekend?
I don't know.
Gary, you usually know those sorts of things.
The music I'm playing at the stadium and Gridiron Grillers, maybe?
Anything special
going on for this
game?
Boy, is this guy
going to
be disappointed.
While your mic is open, Gary, anything you're doing special for the game?
Not particularly.
No?
Who's doing the anthem?
A group called 5 O'Clock Shadow.
What?
Is it a boy band?
It's not a boy band, but there are five acapella singers.
They're straight out of Rentham.
Why don't we? You got any big names on tap for any anthems anytime soon?
No.
You're doing a fine job.
No, Ayla Brown.
She was at the Celtics last night, and she's not a big name.
Andy she did last night, Celtics opening night.
I know, I saw it.
Andy does not like Ayla Brown.
He's a loser, a spoiled loser.
Spoiled. She works hard for everything she gets.
Spoiled, disgusting loser.
PJ.
No one wants to sing the anthem. I work on the big names, but nobody wants to come and do it.
Why? How about...
Because what does it do for them? They don't televise it.
Well, maybe we should pay them.
Don't talk to me.
What big names have you tried that have shot you down?
It takes too long.
Just give me one.
Recently?
Yeah.
Nick Lachey, hoping he was coming with Jessica, maybe made makeup.
Nick Lachey's a big name. But isn't Monster Jam this weekend? Isn't there a 94.5? Can't get somebody from that? One of those hip-hop artists?
To what, rap the anthem?
No, well, hip-hop is not necessarily rap.
You
got to
get somebody who's promoting something else.
Right.
You got to get somebody who's got, like, a new album out so that they do it to promote their album.
Okay, for coming up, I'm working on Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders, Lionel Richie, Bruce Hornsby, Amy Mann, and Martina McBride. All of whom will say no.
Yeah, but I'm not excited about any of them anyway. No offense.
Yeah, the answer is good.
Who would you like?
A big name.
Silence. Okay. PJ writes in, I heard two Colts interviewed this week.
Who's a big name? You give me a big name. That's where the silence comes in. Who do you want? A big name.
Well, I mean, Nick Lachey, to me, qualifies as a big modern name.
You're wrong. That's low level.
Well, I consider him, I don't even know a couple of the ones you said. And the others are old, washed up guys.
Lionel Richie
and
Bruce Hornsby
doesn't even sing, does he?
Who?
Doesn't he just play
he'll play it on a sax.
Yeah, he plays it on the keyboard. It's unbelievable.
That'd be better. Or the keyboard. That's even better.
I'm looking for a big name. Flashy. Pop culture. Give me something modern.
Who?
I said Nick Lachey would have qualified. He's top 40. I'm looking for top 40.
Name one song he sings.
The one
Nick Lachey.
That they play forever. That was number one forever.
Come on, not Nick Lachey.
I'm not saying he's the best. I'm saying he would qualify. I'd rather have him than those. I mean, if you could get big names, Mariah Carey or any of those people.
Mariah Carey does Super Bowl. She's not going to come here for Jets in November.
Alicia Keys. Nelly Furtado. Isn't she from around here? Didn't she grow up in New Bedford or something?
No.
I'm pretty sure she was either born or has family in New Bedford. Nelly Furtado, good local line.
She has Cape Verdean roots, and yes, there are some in New Bedford.
How about the cast of The Office? All right, let's get to the
emails. Go to Monster Jam. Go to their website. Tell me who's playing, and I'll see if anybody would be appropriate.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. PJ writes in, I heard two Colts interviewed this week, Cato June on Sirius Radio and Dwight Freeney on ESPN. They were obviously asked about their terrible run defense and how they can improve it. They both said that when you look at the tape, they are just missing a tackle here or there, and that sometimes players are just not in the spot they are supposed to be. I saw a lot of gaping holes against Denver. They are basically saying, we just have to play better.
Great. So they're undersized and in the wrong spot. That's great.
As a Patriots fan, that sounds just like exactly what I want to hear. After 8 weeks, there is no magic wand to wave so they could just play better. If they are not going to adjust their scheme, it is Brad Childress all over again, beating his head against the wall, playing against five wide receivers with three linebackers. If the Pats don't put up at least 30 points on this suspect defense, I will be shocked. With the injuries to the Colts, the cold weather, and the resurgent running game of the Pats, I think this has all the makings of a Pats double-digit win. Patriots 34, Colts 20. P.S., I'm coming from the Philly area to the game. I'm getting there Saturday. Any suggestions on places to go to eat on Saturday and Sunday afternoon so I can get some good New England food in me? Great show. Well, depends on where you're staying, PJ. There's a ton of restaurants.
Fred's house.
No, I mean, if you're in Boston, I mean, crying out loud. I mean, Legal Seafood, Turner's Fishery, there's so many good restaurants.
The whole North End?
Yeah. I mean, the world is your oyster, you know? Now, on game day, it's a little
bar,
different.
What is it, the Oyster House?
Yeah, on game day, it's a little different because you got to get here. Well, actually, no, you got all day because it's a Sunday night game. So
right.
You can still eat in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
If you want,
or Providence, if it's down this way, you can go to Providence.
I mean, Abe and Louie's is one of the best steakhouses in town if you really want to spend some coin. So I need a little bit more information so I can steer you the right way. If you're going to Buffalo, go to Billy Ogden's.
I agree. I'm convinced.
Gary's shaking his head.
I've only been once, but I was happy.
All right. Ray writes in, and Reverend Ray, I should say, who says, I can't wait for Sunday. It was tough rooting for the Broncos last week. I felt I needed to take a shower after doing that. Why would you be rooting for the Broncos? The Colts were the good win for the Patriots because that gives the Broncos two losses. So now the Patriots are ahead of the Broncos in, you know, the
right. Because they hold the tiebreaker,
right.
So you need to beat them by
the game. And the Broncos have beaten the Patriots, so you need to have them have that extra loss. Whereas the Colts, even though they remained undefeated, now you get a chance to give them a loss, and one of them would be against you. So
now if you lose this week, you're kind of a behind the eight ball because the Colts are up two and the tiebreaker,
right.
And you're tied with the Broncos
now
who have the tiebreaker.
Now you drop to three.
Right.
Now you're out of the
But, I mean, if you're going to lose games, you're going to be in trouble anyway. You need to win your games.
I found the reaction of Monday night's game to be a good illustration of about how much stock to put into power rankings and general media regarding sports. The Pats went from a team no one was talking to a probable Super Bowl entrant in its week 9.
Wait, that's not true.
Okay.
They had already moved up the power rankings. They've been in the 5-6 range for a while.
Since the Cincinnati game, really.
So it's not like nobody was talking about them. In fact, coming into the season, most people had them clear-cut winners in the East. I mean, they were the Dolphins fans and people that thought the Dolphins were going to have a breakout year. But the Patriots were considered a team to beat in the AFC from the get-go. They're one of the playoff teams, and people had moved them into the top of the power rankings.
Let's see. Reverend goes on to say, to date, they have been beaten by a top-tier team, beaten 2 second-run teams, and feasted on the NFL scrap teams. The win against Minnesota was good, and it showed some different ways we can flex our muscles, much like our win in Cincy, but let's not get crazy. Anyway, our defense has me concerned. It seems like it's hanging by its fingernails and capitalizing on opponents' mistakes.
The defense that hasn't given up more than 17 points all year, has given up, what, 80 points all year, 87 points in 7 games?
Right, and going down.
Defense that is suddenly just creating turnovers left and right, getting to the quarterback left and right. Why are we worried about this defense? I think there are some legitimate concerns. I think the linebacker group has underperformed. Fred, you even sort of brought that up, that maybe Brewski has been a little bit down. Rabel's missed a lot of tackles. But as a unit, the defense has been doing its job.
Again, it's team defense. PJ, Reverend goes on. He says, decent game out of the O-line, but they need to string some consistency together. Sundays will be won by a touchdown or more, I think, by the Pats. But either way, the kicker won't be what does it. And finally, Richay Caldwell is killing our compensatory picks.
Huh?
I guess because
he's a free agent acquired for the
acquired
whole
and
net.
It, yeah. So the net of...
Gary!
On the phone right now, we've got Jamie in Houston. Jamie, how you doing?
What's going on, fellas? I'm really excited about the big game.
Yeah, we are too.
What's everybody? I missed most of the talk this week. What's the consensus opinion from?
I had to change my panties. Well, I think everyone's picking the Patriots.
Most fans are confident. Many saying a big win. You know, double digit type win.
How about?
I like it. I'm wondering if it's coming off of the drumming of Minnesota. Which boy, that was good. That felt good to see.
Well, I think the biggest thing that people are looking at is the Colts' inability to stop the run.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that starts with that. Then you add on what they did in the passing game against the Vikings and the fact that the Patriots can run or pass against the Colts. And I think, you know, there's reason to be optimistic. It's at home. The last time they were home against the Colts, they got blown out. So I don't think, you know, the Patriots aren't a team to allow that to happen twice in a row. You add up all those things, and I think it's warranted to think that the Patriots are going to win this game, even coming from a homer like I am, which I admit.
I'd expect nothing less from you, Fred.
Yeah, I like their chances a lot. I mean, you got to pick them to win, whether you're a homer or not at home. You know, they match up good. And the scary thing about Indianapolis is, you know, they allowed how many yards did Mike Bell run on them? I mean, like infinity, and they still lost? I mean, that's the scary thing.
Yeah.
But do you think they'll establish Maroney in the third down role? You know, kind of tone out Kevin. I mean, because nobody runs a screen better than Kevin Falk. But if you get Maroney running in the open field, give him his opportunities to take those third down situations. Nothing beats a good pass rush quite like a screen or a good rush.
I don't think you'll phase Kevin Falk out. If anything, I think you might have an interesting role this week because you might get back into more of a traditional first and second down Maroney Dillon carrying the ball, running the ball, and then Falk coming in as a change of pace on third down. I don't think you're just going to go straight to Lawrence. Maroney never leaves the field.
Yeah, but however, I will say that now that, you know, Maroney's getting better and better at picking up the blitz, and I think that you feel more confident putting him in third down.
Then cut Kevin Falk.
Well, I mean,
I think you're better served to not put too much on Maroney's plate at this point.
Well,
you're counting on him as a kick returner. You're counting on him probably this week.
I'm just saying it's another role that he can play on this team.
Yeah, but how are you going to beat Freeney and those other knotheads on the line? You're going to beat him with screens. You're going to beat him with draws.
And I'm very comfortable with Kevin Falk running those plays.
Yeah, but he puts the ball down more, you know, on the ground than, you know, anybody else, unfortunately. I love Kevin to death, but, you know, do you want to, you know, how many times has the Colts, you know, beaten us via, you know, Kevin Falk?
Then, as I said, you shouldn't have him on your team. If you aren't comfortable with him as your third down back and feel like he's going to turn the ball over too often, you can't use him, then they should have cut him in the preseason.
No, I
just think if he's on your team for a reason, he's a weapon.
Right.
You need to use him. Otherwise, you're putting too much on Maroney's plate. I think this is a game where you want Maroney carrying the ball. I think you want him in a traditional.
Well, you want him touching the ball. You want it in his hands because he can make plays.
But I think in a traditional
set, doesn't have to
let's
be on
run
first
the ball.
Down.
See, I think that's how you win this week.
Well, I agree, but I'm just saying Maroney has established
second
himself.
Second down, too, can't you?
Sure, yeah. You can, and that makes him dangerous as well.
Maroney
but in the third down role, I like Falk.
A guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield, he can run the ball, and he's a weapon on special teams.
Okay, let's just have him do everything then, and we might as well get rid of everybody else.
You don't rule it out.
If people were thinking about it, I mean, because he has been the guy can just run.
Mm-hmm. No
and,
question.
Their secondary. I mean, if he can get out in their secondary, he's gonna eat their lunch.
Oh, he'll steamroll them over.
He's the most consistent playmaker on this team right now. No question.
All right,
behind Brady. But anyway,
I think he's more consistent than Brady. I'm just kidding. Easy.
Oh man. What are you feeding this guy, Fred, today?
He's just
nothing. That's the problem. I came down here expecting food, and there isn't any.
Jamie, you could have called in and said you guys are in Foxborough, and he would have argued with you.
Yeah.
You know, that's
he's in Houston, obviously. He's not in Foxborough.
That we are in Fox. See, he argued with that. No matter what you say, he's got to argue with it.
All right. Well, just wanted to check in. Didn't get a chance to chime in earlier this week, but, you know, I think does everybody agree? Everybody's clicking on offense. You know, Gabriel's in time. I mean, he had a big coming out day, and
I still think Jackson has a long way to go.
No question.
You know, he had the one touchdown, but he also had another one that he dropped. He's still got a long way to go. We saw him running the wrong way pre-play once, and he had to be directed to the right side of the line. So he's still got a long way to go. But I think. Until that happens, you won't see the full capability of the passing game, but I think it will come.
But you're in a better position now because Gabriel has developed.
Yep.
He and Brady have clearly gotten a little something going, and that doesn't have so much pressure on Jackson to immediately contribute.
Absolutely.
Hey, Fred, be careful what you say about Jackson, you know, implying maybe that he's not very smart because John Kerry will want to send him to Iraq, too.
Oh, good one. I like it. Okay, Jamie.
All right, with that, I'll let you guys go, bud.
Thanks,
you,
Jamie.
Jamie
from Houston.
Manny Ortiz.
Right. Stephen in Edinburgh, Scotland says, I watched the Viking games on DVD again after sending my email yesterday and did see Ben Watson drop a few catches that should have been first downs. However, on the injury report, everyone is questionable except Brady. How many of these players do you expect to play on Sunday? I will be up till 5 a.m. on Monday morning watching the Pats play the Colts. Hopefully, both teams go away with 7-1 records.
I bet you on Channel 5.
Right.
Channel 5 in Scotland.
Right.
Isn't that Edinburgh?
Whatever. Edinburgh.
Isn't that how they say it? The burg is said borough.
Is that right?
I believe so. I learned that when Mike Milan was playing over there. Remember that Patriots.com diary with Mike Milan? That was a good one. That was a whole good spring there.
Yeah.
Like Pittsburgh?
Well, no, because we're on this side of the pond. They also say that, you know, across the pond.
Okay.
What was the question?
I don't know. Anyway, okay. Tom's here. How you doing, Tom?
I got a funny story, Andy, you'll like.
What?
Well, for those that don't know, like, I need all my stuff's always piled up a certain way. I need things in a certain spot, because if I want something from 6 months ago, I know exactly where it is. So I come in, and I keep noticing that my papers have been moved around, like my old PFWs. And when you go for my papers, my game books are stacked right in front of them. So they're, like, shuffled around, and I'm like, what in the heck is going on around here? Who's touching my papers? Of course, I should have known the answer to that.
I'm going with Kyle. Yeah.
Just before I come down, here comes Kyle strolling in with my Colts paper from last season.
Tick, 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 tick.
I'm sorry, I needed to borrow this. And I said, you know, they got all the papers over there in a binder right by Mora. Oh, they do? Yeah, you can use those if you want.
Or he could start his own stack on his desk for his own research.
So that's your story?
Where the hell did you get him, Fred?
Yeah, I don't like people touching my stuff, Fred. That goes for you, too.
Oh, lighten up, Francis. All right, Scott, New Hampshire.
Francis Sawyer.
No, that Everybody was the last bad psycho. Intern.
Scott, New Hampshire says, injury reports. Why bother?
Lighten up, Francis.
There you go. You got it. Why bother with injury reports, says Scott, New Hampshire? If all the coaches were polled, I wonder how many would say they looked at the injury report and took its content into consideration when preparing the game plan for an opponent. I bet the answer would be zero. Based on today's press conference, it sounds like Bill does not even look at it.
That's not true.
What?
That's what he says.
I
believe him, though.
I don't think he cares,
because I think he thinks other people cheat as much as he does.
I do think he cares about his own.
Yeah, I think you look at it, though. I mean, listen, if...
I think he smirks.
Listen, let me put it this way. Monte Rieger isn't playing this week. He's listed as out.
Right.
That's an important part of the game.
But he doesn't need the injury report to know that. He would know the guy was in a car accident, and, I mean...
Yeah, but there was questions whether or not he would return this week.
He could still play.
But he's listed as out, so he has a
0%
chance. I think the league should step in and just say, listen, enough's enough. Either have an injury report or don't. But for each team to have 17 players questionable, why am I going through the bother of waiting for it to be sent to me at 4 o'clock? You know what I mean?
Just
get rid of it.
Well, but as we were talking about before, the NFL, there has to be a way to render that information valueless. Because if it becomes of value, the injuries...
Gets back to the gambling.
It gets back to the gambling.
I
exactly.
think you should just have to list the people who are definitely going to be out, like Rieger this week. He's not practicing. He was in a car accident. He's obviously not going to play. Or, like, you know, if you have wrist surgery on Wednesday.
Yeah, but...
and are questionable while actually on the surgery table getting cut.
That doesn't answer the question, though. That doesn't answer the question or the problem of the information then is valuable. If a guy has a hurt shoulder as an offensive lineman and he's probably not going to play, if that's not public knowledge, then it becomes valuable knowledge.
No, I'm not saying if it's... I'm saying Monte Rieger was in a car accident.
Yeah, I know.
He's out,
right.
So he's not going to play. So
right.
if he's not going to play, then list him as out and then
Fine.
Move on with it.
But there's other than people that are...
I'm saying don't bother putting anybody on the injury report because it's a waste of time.
Well, then it becomes valuable information.
Why?
Because if I'm an opponent and I know the guys who have injuries... You know, that's valuable information.
No, it's not valuable to the opponent.
They're all questionable, Fred. Listen, there's 34...
Which means nothing
right
now.
There's 34 guys who are questionable.
I'm not saying what they're doing right now is the answer.
Three of them don't play.
I'm not saying what they're doing right now is the solution. I'm saying if
the
goal is to render this information valueless, which this is why they do it, so that there's no competitive advantage to knowing who's injured on the other team, they've got to figure out a better way.
Right.
So they want people to lie. Because they've certainly created an atmosphere in which it's valueless.
No, no matter what
people
they do.
People laugh at the injury
report.
You know,
they tried to do the whole missed portion of practice. They tried
right.
to do that. But the more they do, the more loopholes they create.
Right.
You know, so it is a problem. I believe it is. TG in New Jersey says, can we get the head coach a press secretary like the president has at the White House? He needs his own Tony Snow. It's obvious he loathes that
Stacey,
part of the
isn't
gig.
It?
Yeah, but press secretary actually gives the press conference.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's miserable. The reporters' questions are asinine, except for PFWs, of course. We all know the answers already anyways. Day to day, it is what it is. We're working to improve our football team.
I never said that.
We made the plays to win, lose the game, etc. I think Fred is the perfect candidate.
I never said that.
No, you wouldn't want me up there.
No.
And I know another person who wouldn't want you up there. Bill Belichick.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't the Colts and Pats go ahead and put their entire 53-man rosters on the injury report and be done with it? The NFL needs to change that. Either you're playing or you're not. No more probable or questionable. Both teams are making a mockery of the policy. It makes the league look ridiculous. And if Adam wins by a field goal this Sunday, will we ever hear the end of it? The Patriots can't win without Vinatieri.
No.
We won't hear. For a week at least, we won't hear the end of it. That's for sure.
The thing about the reporters, though, is, yeah, we know Bill's what the answers are going to be, but, like, Tomasi still has to ask questions
right.
because the Herald's going to say, why didn't you ask these questions?
You have to do
questions?
The job.
I mean,
you have to have the answer, too.
Apparently the Globe doesn't care about that, but...
No, the Globe's too worried about talking about, you know, making the team look better.
But you still have to ask the questions. I mean, listen, we're talking about...
I believe you do.
We're talking about the hardest coach maybe in sports to get answers out of. So, you know, what are you going to do? But you still have to go about your business and do your job.
Absolutely. Craig in Boxborough, love the podcast. Would you agree that Patriots versus Colts is becoming one of the most popular rivalries of all sports? Also,
no, not all sports.
Do you think the fans will give Vinatieri a warm reception,
for
or will they be
period.
Extremely yeah. hostile towards him? Personally, I think that the mere fact he is a Colt is reason enough to treat him harshly.
See, I think they'll give him a warm reception.
I think
if they don't, they should be ashamed of themselves.
They won't.
They'll give him a warm one, and then they'll boo him when he actually goes to do
something.
I'm
going to disagree with you. I'm going to say they boo him from the start, just because he's on the Colts.
And
if he was on like the Broncos or the Chargers, yeah, I understand. I'm just saying
we're not going to get in one of those booing things it's a good or a bad booing.
My point is it's going to be booing. I don't think he's going to get a round of applause. But what else was in that email?
That's about it.
Something else I was going to say something
about the injury report, right?
No.
No.
I don't know. Vinatieri.
Hold on.
Oh, the rivalry thing. I think right now, in the present time, it's a big rivalry. It draws big ratings. People are interested in it. It's basically because both teams are always good, and
right.
you have Manning versus Brady.
Right.
It was kind of like Dallas and San Francisco. They're not natural rivals, but at the time, that was the game. So in a couple of years, this rivalry will kind of fizzle out.
But I just feel like it's a facade of a rivalry, or like a glamorous one rather than like a hate-filled one. You know what I mean? Like a Red Sox Yankees, there's hate. There's people joking about players dying.
There's some hate here.
I don't think
Napoleon
it's that.
And Belichick, I don't think they're going to go out to dinner anymore.
No, I know, but I don't think it's reached that
yeah,
blood
but
and guts
takes
level
years,
yet.
Though,
what yeah,
you're talking
probably.
About takes years to build.
Probably.
Like, when you go to the Midwest, if you say Bears Packers, that's it. That's
right.
all they care about.
Right.
Now, we don't care about it because,
right.
you know, usually teams haven't been good at the same time. So more people would probably care about Colts Patriots right now, but in the whole scheme of things, if you talk Bears Packers, they hate each other.
And I also don't
Redskins Cowboys.
They hate each other.
It's it's hard to have a great rivalry without a back and forth. And the Patriots, aside from last year,
yeah.
kind of owned it.
Owned it.
So if you had a Colts winning a playoff game, then a Patriots winning, you get a little more back and forth.
But you know, here's the difference though, and it all gets down to New England fans. You know, Yankees Red Sox. Everyone knows that the Red Sox fans care more about that rivalry than the Yankees fans because, you know, the Yankees always beat the Red Sox.
And the same thing with the Colts.
But there's
billboards down there about the Patriots.
I know, but there's in New England, even though we have owned the Colts, we still hate them. You know,
But I think it's a hate that comes with the assumption we're going to win. I think the Red Sox versus the Yankees is an assumption we're going to lose.
And worry that we
care
might
about
lose
it.
Right.
To Peyton Manning. You know,
right.
we don't want to lose to Peyton
right.
Manning.
Right.
Yeah. But
I think it's a little different.
Well,
if the Colts come in here and dominate them again, now you're adding a whole new wrinkle to the rivalry.
Russell,
they're going to keep playing every year. I mean, they're going to win their division,
yeah,
so they're going to be aligned every year.
Right. Russell from the sunny OC. Wow. I just got to look at the Patriots injury report. I think Bill forgot to list Troy Brown and Corey Dillon, who cut themselves shaving. Guys, there were less injuries listed after the Tet offensive. You guys wouldn't know that. It's a Vietnam reference.
Oh.
That list can't be for real. Anyway, Yahoo's Charles Robinson ran a list of the top 10 free agents to be. Dwight Freeney is one of two
Greg
Colts.
Robinson Randall?
Charles Robinson. Dwight Freeney is listed, one of two Colts listed, the other is Cato June. Robinson said in the article, Freeney will not hit the market. How can the Colts have all these monstrously high-paid players, Manning, Vinatieri, Harrison, Wayne, plus very high-paid ones like Stokely, Clark, Simon, Dan Klecko, just kidding, still sign Freeney and not be over the cap? Are the rest of the players working for minimum wage? Help me with the math here.
Because they don't do as bad a job managing the cap as everybody likes to make it out to be.
As the robot once said to Dr. Smith, it does not compute.
Well, Freeney's not going anywhere. We all agree with that. So I wouldn't even list them on a free agent thing because it's meaningless.
Yeah.
That's like saying, hey, LaDainian Tomlinson's going to be
especially for them.
Agent.
Their whole theory, their philosophy is re-sign our own players. But they don't mismanage the cap as poorly as people seem to think.
They just do it differently than the Patriots
right.
do.
All I know is every time they need somebody, they go out and get them. They went out and got Corey Simon to a big deal.
They
probably overpaid for him, but
they
could still get Rieger.
They don't have
but McFarlane.
They don't have the same middle class that the Patriots have.
Right. It's more top-heavy
right.
than the Patriots.
Sean Furlong, and Sean wants to make sure I know she's a female.
Okay.
From Marlborough, New Hampshire. She's
How you doing?
I've been thinking about what Tony Kornheiser was saying on the Monday Night Football broadcast.
That's
he was saying how the New England Patriots used players and then discarded them. It made setting a value on a position sound so cold. Why can't the media look at how this type of system benefits players? Being on the New England Patriots has showcased players more than if they had been on a lesser team. I often wonder if players like David Patton, Damian Woody, David Givens would have had the huge offers they received if they had played for Houston. In return, there have been a few players in their twilight years who have come to New England to get the ring who have had their big contracts behind them. It's just another view on what sounds like a cold-hearted policy.
It is.
Sean, you're absolutely right.
I think it's both right. I think that email was right, and I think Kornheiser was probably saying the same thing. He was just saying it in a different way that sounds better on television.
They're both right. It is a cold-hearted philosophy.
Yeah, it is.
There's no doubt. But it's also true that those guys wouldn't have gotten the money if they played for Houston. But that's how it works. You play for a championship team, people throw money at you.
That's right. Shannon of the he who has the hot girlfriend.
So Sean is a she.
Shannon's
a he.
I haven't seen any pictures of this hot girlfriend. Until I see one in a your girlfriend in a bikini, she's not hot to me.
What are you going to do? All right, anyway.
I want proof.
All right.
Playing mind games there. He wants to see a hot girl in a bikini.
Shannon says, does anyone but me think that the Pats Colts injury report is a laughing stock?
No, everybody does.
What is this, Cold War Part 2? Each team has about half of their players listed as questionable. I personally list myself as questionable now for watching the game. I really hope this eye sprain is healed up by game day. Come on, everybody knows that virtually all of those players will be suited up and making plays come Sunday night. So how is that piece of crap, the Metrodome, that they call a football stadium? The place absolutely stinks for a baseball game, and it's just okay for a football game. Buyer beware if you sit above the end zone and are directly underneath the big screen, where there is a decent chance your hair will be caught on fire from the heat resonating out of it. Anyways, I never liked that dump when I lived there, and I'm just hoping your experience was better. Tom, I agree with you on the fact that Vinatieri coming back to Foxborough is completely boring and has run its course. This is Brady versus Manning, Pats versus Colts, and Belichick Pease versus the Colts offense. I can't wait for the game.
Oh, Dean Pease. I was like, Belichick Pease?
On the Colts offense. I was off by predicting a 31-14 Pats win over the Vikes last week. I guess I gave too much credit to the Minnesota offense. This week, Pats 24, Dolts 10, PSC Chickens.
Well, that's what Andy predicted. Same ridiculous score.
I think I picked 28-10. There was a little confusion there because when I asked Fred what I picked, he said 24-10, and that's what I said on the air. And then I looked up, and the graphic said 28-10.
So
you screwed yourself
ballpark.
And me.
I sent that email like 5 in the morning. I don't know. I can't remember.
No, yeah, that was a tough week.
I think that's a good ballpark, though. Shannon, that who it was?
Yes.
Well, I just think if they hold the Colts to 10 points, Fred's right. Get the sunscreen out.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to Miami. Because if they can hold that offense to 10 points, you know, what else
is
left?
It's been done this year.
No, I know it has, but this is a big game. You know, the Colts, they kick it up for big games.
The Colts started slowly.
I don't know if
but
you know, the Patriots tend to do that as well.
I know. That's why I think it's going to be a very entertaining
I hope so,
game.
Because last one that was supposed to be entertaining and good,
I was
certainly didn't buy it.
I don't mind a blowout every
It was supposed
once in
to be a good
while.
Game, and it sucked.
Which game?
Monday night.
By my perspective,
yeah, but this is this is in a whole different world. That was supposed to be a good game. This is the game. You know what I mean? And if the Colts come and lay an egg, I don't want to hear another word about them all season. I don't want to hear that they beat Tennessee by who cares? They need to come here and at least play well. If they lose, that's fine. You know, but if they score 10 points, get out of my face.
If it's like the one in the Dome a couple years ago, what was it, 38-34 or whatever?
Right.
One of those games, I'll be very happy.
Dave in Cambridge.
That's my score.
Although I'm confident.
Is that what you went with?
Although I'm confident the Pats will win this Sunday night against the Colts, as strange as this might sound, I think I would feel better if they were playing in Indy. For whatever reason, the Pats seem more focused on the task at hand on the road and play better, not to mention Brady's perfect record in a dome. If it comes down to playing in Indy in the playoffs, you can write in yet another W for the Pats.
Well, how many
reverse psychology.
Let me just take a stab here. Am I correct when I say the Patriots have never lost a home playoff game? Isn't that true?
In this era.
Yeah, in this era. They've never lost
a home
playoff
game.
And how many games in the regular season have they lost at home in the past 3 or 4 years? two
or three.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to say there's not that much of an advantage.
Well, it's also one of those things. When you go 14-2 every year, you have a lot of those numbers that look impressive no matter where you play.
Right.
Night, day, home, road, grass, turf.
I just think if you're in the playoffs and you're playing the Colts at home rather than here, I don't think – why would you want that?
Butter or margarine?
Because if you get the Colts in a dome, I know they've struggled in the playoffs.
Right.
I know the
Even
Patriots
that one,
own them.
The last time the Patriots beat them, they were up,
right?
What, 31-10?
Right.
But and the Colts came back and tied it up in the second half.
You know, thankfully, the guy in Minnesota gave us the weather forecast in the dome. It was 65 degrees. But if you get the Colts in 65 degrees in a dome, they can beat you on any day. You
right.
get them here in the snow and the cold, no shot.
By the way,
you don't want to go on the road in the playoffs.
Right.
I don't care where you're going.
Andy just couldn't live with himself earlier in the show. One person complimented me on giving him the upset special of the week. Another person complimented you on your football knowledge.
False.
And Andy just couldn't take it.
The
he
two things. Now I'll tell you the real story. One guy from Australia called, emailed in and said, Fred, I made some wagers based on picks last week. I took your upset special and made some money. And I told the guy, if he does that consistently, he's going to lose his house.
Right.
He just couldn't. He couldn't.
But that was a good
But that's
pick.
True.
He couldn't just keep his mouth shut.
If he goes with Fred consistently, he'll either get his knees broken or lose his house.
Tom, you should have seen him.
And like, the other guy says like he takes all your material and goes to bars and wows people. And I said, with all your material, I'm surprised he doesn't get beat up in bars.
That's a fair assessment.
Like, aren't both of those
fair? And Fred got all disappointed.
His head looked like the Great Pumpkin. He just couldn't take it.
No, I'm mad because there's no food here, and I was told there was going
to
be food here.
I have to admit, we pick on Fred. That was a heck of a pick. I mean, it was a 10-point underdog. Fred took him to win outright. You know, it's the Raiders, the worst team in football. They won. You got to give Fred his props on that one.
David says,
I don't know why the guy bet
it. Of course, the Raiders didn't really win. The Steelers
lost. I have no idea why the guy bet it with his track record.
trying to save the guy from trouble down the road.
Is it just me, or did the Broncos waste their defensive talent by playing too conservatively against the Colts, which gives me hope that the Pats D, less talented but smarter, will be better than the Broncos were?
They ran for 227 yards. If you're getting 30 yards a carry with your fullback, why throw it?
I don't know. He's talking about the defense.
About the Broncos defense. Broncos defense. Conservatively.
I didn't like how the Broncos went.
You know what? That's a weird thing about this season. Remember last year they blitzed the heck out of every team they played? Now this year they don't blitz at all.
Right.
I've never seen a defense really take that much of a 180 in such a short span.
Because Shanahan is overthinking it.
You're right. Like, I understand you don't want to blitz as much as last season because you can give up too many big plays, but to not all of a sudden not blitz at all,
right,
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
especially with those linebackers. They can get in there in 2 seconds.
I don't really understand what they were doing. We had a guy call in questioning that, and I think teams sometimes do that. They fall into the trap of not wanting to blitz Manning or not wanting to get caught out of position when he's doing all his crap
right.
and adjustments, and they just stay base, and I think that takes you out of your game.
I agree.
And I don't think that'll happen to this team here.
And I think there's something to be said that they have more trouble with the 3-4 defense, and it's because of the pressure off the edges, which we've seen with the Patriots in the past, the Chargers, the Steelers.
Yep.
It's all the same thing. And listen, let's be honest. He didn't have a good game 2 years ago or last year against Cleveland, who has a terrible defense, and he didn't have a great game this year against the Jets, who has a terrible defense, and they run similar systems. So I think you're right. Maybe they will hold him to 10 points. You convinced me.
Let's see. Hello from Bogota. This is the kind of week where I really envy your job. Good luck this Sunday, and it doesn't get any better than seeing the two best quarterbacks in the NFL facing each other. How good were the games played by that vintage crop of QBs during the 80s, Montana, Marino, Elway, and Kelly? Well, Montana and Marino didn't get to play each other that
Yeah,
much.
We just figured that, found that out when Paul's doing his commentary on it. They've only, how many times, Paul? Four? Montana and Marino?
Three times
they faced each other. So, as Paul's story will say, we're lucky to see these guys play each other.
All thrilled.
All right, well, Paul's here. That means it's time to go around the NFL. We'll take a break.
That's not good news for anybody.
There's a lot of emails. We'll try to get through this quickly, and if we have time at the end of the show, we'll get back to the emails. So, if you want, keep sending them.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best
I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Clint Dempsey of your New England Revolution.
We're headed back to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. Another MLS Cup appearance and our first ever championship is the only goal.
Dempsey, what a goal!
Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m., we'll kick off our quest for the cup against Chicago Fire at Gillette Stadium, and we want you there.
New England is revved up for another postseason appearance and a trip back to MLS Cup. Playoff action and soccer passion explodes Saturday, October 28th at Gillette Stadium. Join 2006 Honda Player of the Year Clint Dempsey and the rest of the Revs on the quest for the cup. With tickets starting at just $18, free parking, and free admittance to the interactive soccer theme park soccer celebration, New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun night for the whole family. Don't miss it! Be a part of the playoff passion by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your kicks, get your playoff ticks, and get the Revolution! Revolution.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack Sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots Brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack Sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Okay, that music means it's Thursday and 1 o'clock, and that means it's time to go around the NFL with our weekly picks, outright and for entertainment purposes, against the number. Paul, before we start, why don't you let us know what we did last week and what the season standings are.
Yep, that music can only mean it's time to embarrass the crew once again. Let's see. Winning the week
Andy.
Last week was, no, not Andy. It was Fred with an 8-6 record.
Obsessed special.
Tom, that's pitiful.
Tom,
I mean, it's
Paul,
absolutely pitiful.
7-7. Andy, 6-8.
Holy crap.
Another god-awful week. By the spreads. We sunk to new lows by the spread. Winning the week, Tom and Fred, 5-9.
That was a disgraceful
why they call me the tout.
Performance.
Andy, 4-10.
I didn't finish in last? Nice.
Paul, 3-11.
Oof. It was a tough week.
And one of my wins is a gimme because it was the Patriots. So I really went 2-11. I mean, that's pitiful. So
that's
season,
pitiful.
Season
I mean, it's
standings?
Absolutely pitiful.
Let's see here. Fred, 72-42. Tom, 71-43.
Fred's
Paul, 70-44. Andy, 68-46. Really falling off lately, Andy.
I don't know what's happening.
By the spread, Tom remains Tout Casale, 27-25-2. You're winning. You're winning money. Fred, 25-27. Paul, 22-30. Andy, 21-31.
I'm only one behind you, though.
Now you see where gambling gets you. Speaking of that,
crap.
Though, before we start.
We all had two
ties,
by the way, also.
We lost the Florida game last week because of Bill's buddy, Urban Meyer, can't coach, and he'll be out of a job in a couple of years. Why does Bill like to surround himself with idiots for some reason?
I mean,
that guy's offense stinks. But anyway, tonight, big game in the Big East, Louisville over West Virginia. However, Louisville will not be the undefeated team in the Big East, because next week, my friend, they travel to the State University of New Jersey. Rutgers will beat Louisville next week and be the only undefeated team in the Big East. So it's Louisville tonight, Rutgers next week.
Tom, Rutgers Tom. Not play West Virginia?
No.
He's not good at this game. Okay. Isn't he supposed to say, and you'll get my 5-star lock of the year at 1-800-DOCUMENTARY?
I thought they had to play both of them.
I didn't see West Virginia on their schedule. Maybe it's later on in the year, but I know they play Louisville next week. They'll beat them. They'll go undefeated.
Okay.
Rutgers.
Okay.
And
I'm looking forward to the game tonight.
Tom and Andy are looking at Rutgers as the new power in the NCAA.
Holy crap, does he just change everything you say?
No, we said they're building something there, but according to Fred, you can't play. No one
said they shouldn't even try.
You
said they shouldn't even try. You can't build a winner at Rutgers.
Although they could be 11-0.
Okay. All right, let's get into the games before we run out of time here. The first one we'll talk about are the Falcons traveling to Detroit. It's a 1 o'clock game, and let's see what the number is for that one. Atlanta favored by 5.5 points.
I'll take the Falcons to win.
On the road.
Even though I'm a little worried about this newfound, Michael Vick can throw the ball 2 weeks in a row, so he's a great pocket passer, and he can throw, and he's a superstar, blah, blah, blah. He's due to fall on his face throwing the ball and throw a couple picks and look like the crap quarterback that he can be at times. But I just think they're the better team overall.
Right.
Well, last year I get into trouble in this little game that we play because I like to take teams like Detroit, and I said I'm not going to do it, so I'm going to take the Falcons, although this is one of my Fred upset specials, but I'm not going to be stupid enough to actually take it and get lucky and win. I'll take the Falcons because they are the better football team, and that's how you got to play this game. But I take the Lions with a number, and I wouldn't be surprised if they win the game outright just because the Falcons have had two emotional victories against the AFC teams, and I think they're a little down for this game.
Okay, Paul.
I'm going to take Atlanta both sides. I think Tom makes some good points about Atlanta the last couple of weeks. Andy obviously expressed the same concerns with Michael Vick's supposed
Detroit wins, there's a good chance they win like Fred won last week by Vick hitting a couple corners in stride on the way to a couple defensive touchdowns that swings the momentum in the game.
That's why Fred's in first place.
That's
he
how
knows
Pittsburgh
those
won.
Games.
He's running away with one.
That's why Fred has a one-game lead over Tout.
Jealousy will get you nowhere.
I think it was a marvelous pick, Fred.
Neither will listening to your picks and putting actual money on
you
it.
You were able to win a game when the winning team compiled 92 yards of total offense. I think that's remarkable.
It is what it is.
It's a victory.
What does that mean?
I'm taking Atlanta both sides.
I'm going to take Atlanta to win. I'm going to take the Lions to cover in that game. Okay, next game is the Bengals Sunday at 1 travel to Baltimore to play the Ravens. And Cincinnati... Let's see. Baltimore is a 3-point favorite at home. Baltimore is a 3-point favorite over Cincinnati.
What did Cincinnati do last week?
They lost to Atlanta.
Oh, that's right. 29-27 or whatever it was. Ooh. In Baltimore.
Baltimore favored by 3.
Baltimore by 3. Ooh. I'm going to take Baltimore. I'm going to say I'm going to take the tougher team. Yeah. I think they I just don't like the Bengals. They've been totally just a weak
team. Who are they? Who are the Bengals?
Team since the Patriots demolished them. And I think they were rolling, and all of a sudden hit that brick wall, and they haven't regained their confidence, their swagger, any of that. So I'll take the tougher team.
Okay.
Well, logic here says to take the Ravens because they are the tougher team. There's no question about it. But for some reason, the Bengals' passing game gives them trouble. I don't know what it is, but Carson Palmer has huge days against them. I'm going to go with a mild upset here and take the Bengals because they're one of those teams when you think that they shouldn't win, they're one of those teams that, you know, they just bother you because then you don't think they should win, then they win, then you throw it to their back, and then they lose. So I'm going to take them here in this spot.
Yeah, I like Cincinnati. I'm going with the better team. I think Cincinnati wins this game, and Baltimore, I think, is a perfect kind of team for Cincinnati to play because they can't score any points.
Yeah.
Cincy's weakness is defense, and even if Baltimore has a good offensive day, they're not going to put up a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, Baltimore's one of those teams where I'm just going to keep saying they're not as good as their record says they are right up until they make the playoffs. But
and are we going to keep saying Cincinnati's better than the record says
so
they are?
So I'm going to pick Cincinnati both ways in
Read
this game.
Read PFW
well,
next week.
Outright. I'm going to pick Cincinnati to win this game. Okay. Yes, Cincinnati.
I was just looking for the next pick. That's why I was looking at you.
Okay. Sunday at 1, big NFC East game. Well, could have been bigger, but the Cowboys are traveling to Washington to play the Redskins. And naturally, Dallas is favored by 3 points going to Washington.
Who's playing quarterback for the Redskins? I saw Brunell was out.
It doesn't matter.
Campbell was taking reps.
You know who you're taking.
I'm not sure who I'm taking if it's Young versus Young at quarterback.
Dallas has won 16 out of the last 18 in this series.
Okay, I'll take Dallas. Even though I do have the fear that Greg Williams sends the kitchen sink at Tony Romo and he poops himself.
Okay. Tom?
I just think these were two teams at a crossroads, and Dallas might be heading in one direction, and I think that the Redskins are heading in the other. They've totally dominated the Redskins, even in Washington, except for last season when they destroyed the Cowboys. But you know, Greg Williams' defense has been coming after people all year. It's not getting there. I just think Dallas wins the game because they're the better team.
Yeah, but Dallas has a bad O-line and a young quarterback. I don't love those matchups.
Shut down Peppers.
I don't love those matchups.
And I'm going to take Dallas both sides, too. I kind of agree with Tom. This is more of an indictment on Washington.
Yeah, that's how I'm picking it.
Redskins aren't a very good team, and Dallas owns them. So I'll go with the
Cowboys. By the way,
the
Paul, have you seen the website TonyHomo.com?
No.
It's a Drew Bledsoe blog. It's somebody who's pretending.
I swear to God, it's not me.
Well, it's so funny because the first person, obviously, it's somebody pretending to be Drew Bledsoe doing his blog, and he answers
Fred.
Fans' email. And the first email is from a guy named Paul.
How do you find these things?
That must have been taken down by now.
No, TonyHomo.com.
I can't hear anything. Can you hear me?
Check it out. So you're taking Dallas
He's
both ways.
Jump my butt.
I'm going to take Dallas to win the game, but I'm going to take the Redskins to cover. NFC East, right? You never know what's going to happen. It's in Washington. Greg Williams defense, and I just got a feeling all this kissy feely stuff. I don't know. I don't know if the after last.
That's why I said it's more of an indictment on Washington. I agree with you, Fred. I'm not so that they had a great game last week.
Right,
Dallas,
right.
A very emotional win. Give them all the credit in the world. Now let's see them do it 10 more times because that's what they need to do, and I don't think they will.
All right. Sunday at 1, Green Bay travels to Buffalo to take on the Bills. Buffalo is favored by 3 points in this game.
I don't like this game.
Green Bay is at Buffalo?
Green Bay is at Buffalo. Buffalo's favored by 3.
I'll take the Bills
at
home.
Stop doing that, man.
Two bad teams and the AFC-NFC thing, so I'll take the Bills at home, but don't love either team. I think they're two crappy teams.
I don't take any NFC team anymore against the AFC. I'll take the Bills.
Okay.
But hopefully Amon Green will rush for 100 again. Fantasy.
Yeah, I think they're right. You got to take the AFC team. I'll take Buffalo, but I don't feel real good about it. And I think Green Bay, you know, as bad as they are, they found a way to win a few games here. They're like 3-4
now. There's no way you can feel good about picking anyway this game. I'm going to go with Green Bay outright in this game.
Something to be said of just saying that Brett Favre's the best player, so even though he's nowhere near as good as he was.
Yeah, that's a tough one. All right, Sunday at 1, The Texans travel to the Giants to play the Gents, and a big number in this one. Giants are favored by 13.
Ooh, that is a big number. I don't like it. I'll take the Giants, but I'll take the points. You know, I think the offense in Houston can put up some points against that team. Obviously, they still banged up, right? Defensive ends?
Umanura.
Who's playing quarterback for the Texans?
I just assumed Carr was back in there. I thought I read it was a one.
Well, there was some question ESPN was saying last week. They kept saying that it was about performance. Remember, we were talking about that on Monday as we were doing Tom's preview.
Ew. Well, I'm assuming David Carr is playing here, and I'm assuming...
David Carr is playing, according to this preview on NFL.com.
Okay, I'm assuming he's playing. I'm assuming they put enough points up to stay within the number. Obviously, they're not. I don't think they're going to be competitive in terms of winning the game, but... That's why I'll take the points.
Okay.
I don't care who's playing quarterback. They're going to get slaughtered. This is the AFC-NFC thing works if the teams are compatible. This is not compatible. They won't get a yard on the ground against the Giants. The Giants' defense is playing tremendous. I see this is like one of them 38-6 games, in my opinion. I think they'll kill them.
Paul.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Giants both sides as well.
Picked up another one.
It is kind of difficult. You know, you never know what the weather will be like in the Meadowlands. It might be a tough,
windy.
Might be a tough place to win by that many points. But
you can run the ball all over Houston.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be too
even,
much.
Even their number two
teak.
Running back in the Giants could probably
right.
do it. That guy's a monster.
Yeah,
I think he'll actually have a pretty good game in this game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Giants both ways in this. Okay, Sunday at 1, Kansas City at St. Louis. St. Louis is a 2.5-point favorite at home.
I'm going to take the Chiefs to win outright.
Really?
Yes.
I think that's a...
Larry Johnson picking up steam, big day. Damon Heward, I think this is his last game, they said.
I think that's a courageous pick.
I think they win this. Not sold on Kansas City's defense. Hopefully that won't come back and bite me in the bum.
Okay.
But Larry Johnson carries him to victory.
All right, Tom?
Take the Chiefs, too.
You got to take the Chiefs, both.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Outright.
Yeah.
Paul?
No, I'm going to make it 3-for-3. I'm going to go with the AFC thing. I think they're compatible teams, to use Tom's little theory. I think they're pretty close, as a 2.5-point spread would indicate. Obviously, it's a toss-up game. I'll go with the AFC team.
I'm going to go with the NFC team. I'm going to go with the Rams. I don't think the Chiefs are the same team on the road at home, especially this year. I just don't think they're that good. So I'm going to go with the Rams to win the game and to cover. Let's see.
This game could be over in about 2.5 hours, by the way.
Yeah.
I think we might have a lot of Larry Johnson and Steven Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Sunday at 1 still, Miami travels to Chicago to take on the undefeated Bears. This is the biggest number of the week. 13.5 is the number for this game. Chicago.
I'll take the Bears to win and cover. They beat up on them.
Their
defense is legit. I think they can score whenever they want. They turn it on whenever they want. Miami just in shambles. Pitiful football team.
All right. Tom?
I keep taking the number against the Bears at home, and they keep killing people. So I'm going to, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. I'll take the Bears to win, and I'll take that defense to suffocate Miami and cover the number.
Okay. Paul?
Again, Tom, every comment that Tom has made, I pretty much agree with. We only have one pick that's different. You took Detroit to cover in the Atlanta game. I totally agree. I keep taking, you know, I think it was 16 points last week against the Niners.
Yeah, they had that beat
and they had
the first
it done
2 minutes.
First quarter and a half. They had already had that well in hand. I'm going to take the Bears to cover against Dolphins team that can't seem to get out of its own way.
Well, I'm going to take the Bears to win, but I'm just going to take a shot in the dark and say Miami covers in this game.
And then brag about it next week.
That is part of it, Fred. If you at least gave us a little bit of insight, we wouldn't make fun of you so much.
Well, I think Miami's defense is the one thing you might say is okay. And, you know, I want to see if Chicago, you know, might be looking past these guys.
Well, I don't think your pick is bad. You know, taking the points with Miami, but, you know, you go, I'm taking a shot in the dark, and then next week.
Like anyone really knows.
No, but why are you taking a shot in the dark is what I'm saying.
And then you brag about it later.
Because sometimes when there's a big number, the team that.
If you win that and then next week you say to us, well, I just took a shot in the dark, I wouldn't make fun of you. Okay, well, you're just throwing one out there. You'll go, oh, I was the only one that took the Oakland Raiders.
You know what? I don't do that. Don't do that.
You don't.
You did it in a dark bus. Want me to make your picks for you next week, Andy?
One time I make a joke.
You did. You
one time I
first,
make a joke.
The first thing you said to me when we got together to go out Sunday night was, did you see who had the only one who had Oakland in that game against Pittsburgh?
I did not say
you
that.
You did. As you and you, matter of fact, that. I'll even throw you out a compliment. You bought me a beer as you were making fun of me.
I will say one thing, Fred, that this is the time of year where gamblers really start to have a problem, but there's always that one calm before the storm. And to me, this looks like a week where my cousin has a couple of good weeks a year. This looks like one of them. Like, this just looks like a week where the favorites are going to roll.
Tom's
and
poor
then,
cousin.
And then, some of the gamblers are going to be up money, but then the hammer's coming down in the next couple of weeks.
It all evens
out.
Your
cousin living in Indiana, that guy James, is that your cousin?
No, where is James? He's supposed to be sending me stuff. Well, the guy's off the map. I'm sending him winners left and right. Come on, James.
All right, Sunday at 1, the New Orleans Saints are traveling to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. New Orleans is favored by 1 point. 1 point, New Orleans.
I'll take the Saints. They're the better team. As much as I love my boy Bruce Gradkowski and think he's the next Brady and all that, boy, does he have some interesting plays that develop with him at the helm. I was looking through, he leads in fumble recoveries because they're all the own recovered variety. And, right. Yeah, he's just tough start to his career. I mean, he won a couple games. Could have beat the Saints, right, the first time around, except for the return. But I just think the Saints are the better team.
As you were saying that, they were playing that on the commercial for Sunday Ticket.
Well, I like the Bucks. I like the Bucks big. Their defense has been playing very well the last couple of weeks. I mean, they played well enough to beat the Giants last week. Obviously, the Tampa Bay offense isn't going to get anything going against New York, but I think the Saints are ready for their fall here. They got killed at home against Baltimore. Teams that have no right throwing the football have been putting up 300 yards passing on them. I think Sean Payton has done a great job, but their reality sets in, and Tampa Bay takes this one.
I'm finally going to separate from Tom. I'm going to go with New Orleans here. And I'm going to go with last week as a bit of an aberration because Drew Brees is a guy I think that generally, I don't think as much of Drew Brees as a lot of other people do, but I think he is a guy that doesn't make a ton of mistakes. He threw 3 interceptions last week. That put that game out of reach. 2 of those picks were returned for touchdowns. They had a fumble inside their 10, so they got blasted last week, but I think it was a very deceptive blow. It was one of those games where everything that could have gone wrong went wrong for New Orleans. And I'm banking on them getting all those mistakes out of their system and they find a way to squeak out a win. I don't think this will be an easy game by any stretch because I do think Tampa Bay's defense is pretty strong.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Buccaneers in this game. Okay. I just
wasn't quite done, but that's okay.
I'm going to go with the Buccaneers.
Fred had heard enough.
Yeah. All right.
Buccaneers?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have more to say?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Careful. He'll sell. Can take the rest of the show off.
Still Sunday at 1. A lot of games Sunday at 1 this week.
That's good.
Tennessee travels to Jacksonville.
Yeah, we can watch them.
The number on this game, Jacksonville's favored by 9.5.
Oh, that's not
over
enough.
Tennessee. 9.5, Jacksonville over Tennessee.
I'd really like to pick my boy Vinsanity in Jacksonville. But I can't
do it. Not going
to
happen.
Not going to happen. I know Travis Henry had those couple breakout weeks where he had like a $170, and then he was back to reality a little bit. And, you know, Vince has made some plays. He had, a 40-yard run last week or something, scored a touchdown, but 81 yards passing. They got a ways to go before they're ready to win on the road against a defense like Jacksonville. So I think Jacksonville wins and covers pretty easily.
Well, I don't know what Joker's putting money on Fred's picks, but I can tell you, buddy, get your bank account out because and lay it on Jacksonville. This is an absolute demolition. Jacksonville big by 3-4 touchdowns, no problem.
So is it easy to gamble in other countries? Because the guy that took Fred's picks was, I believe, in Australia.
Yeah, a lot of countries.
It was beer
money.
He was betting with friends.
No, but I mean on American sports, it's easy to... Or do they just do the internet thing, you think?
Yeah, you can gamble legally over the internet, and I'm sure...
Is Gerard starting again?
Leftwich, probable.
Really? Okay. Because maybe they just put Gerard in anyway.
Yeah, it's just defense, though. Their defense at home is dominant.
Yeah, and that's why I'm going to take Jacksonville for what Andy's talked about, how Tennessee's been doing it on the ground. I don't think you can do that against Jacksonville. Definitely not in Jacksonville,
right,
where they seem to play differently. Yeah, I'll take Jacksonville to cover.
Me too. All right, now we move on to the Sunday games at 4. 4 of 5, Minnesota travels to San Francisco. What's going to happen with Minnesota? They're favored by 5 points in this game.
You got to be kidding me.
In San Francisco.
What?
They're favored on the road by 5 points over someone they lost at Buffalo, for Christ's sakes.
Minnesota at San Francisco, favored by 5.
I got to tell you, I was not impressed with that defense. And I'd really like to see Alex Smith throw the ball around and win this game. I'm going to take the Vikings. I don't think they're as bad as we have. I think we're reactionary. We saw what the Patriots did to them. I don't think the 49ers are anywhere near the Patriots. I don't care if it's on the road. Brad Johnson, there's already talk of him being on the outs there. I don't know if that's a, I think he bounces back and has a veteran-type game. They run the ball. I think they win against, because they're a better team.
Cover.
Okay.
What was the spread?
5.
Sure.
Well, I love the Niners.
Shows how much I put into this, sure.
I love the Niners here for two reasons. One, that was a huge game for Minnesota, and they laid an egg, and they're coming on a short week. So I think emotionally they'll be down. Two, San Francisco is a totally different team at home when they're not playing a dominant team. Someone like the Chargers can come in there and blow them out. But I don't think Minnesota, they're not a blow-you-out kind of team. So I'm going to take definitely take the points, and I take San Francisco in a mild upset because I think Minnesota is still going to be down from the whooping they took last week.
Okay.
I'm going to take Minnesota to win and cover. I just think they're a better team than San Francisco, and I think they're a much better team than they played. The Patriots, I think, are pretty good, and they made the Vikings look bad Monday night. And I think sometimes that impression is the last one you get, and you know, I think you underestimate a team. I think they'll find a way. I am concerned about the lingering effect of such a devastating loss, but I'm going to bank on them bouncing back.
Norv Turner, pretty smart, though.
If they, you know, the comments that it was frighteningly easy what Brady did to them, if that lingers and they feel like all of a sudden they were exposed and they're not up for this game and they somehow lose it, then pack it in for the year.
And Tom's right. Norv Turner has made a difference. He's put his imprint on that offense. They've been pretty decent. They, you know, Frank Gore has been very productive. I don't know how he's doing it, but... he's
smoking mirrors.
They've been able to move the ball virtually every week.
Yeah, this is a tough game. I'm a little worried, though, you know, like what Andy mentioned, though. They've been going along. They have one bad game. Now all of a sudden we're talking about changing quarterbacks.
Right, exactly.
I didn't understand that.
Teams have bad games, you know.
And do they know who the backup is? Has anyone told them?
Yeah, I say Minnesota bounces back, wins this game. What I'm really on the fence on is whether or not San Francisco covers. I'm going to say they won't. So I'm going to go with Minnesota both ways. All right, Sunday, 4:15, Cleveland goes to San Diego to play the Chargers.
Got ketchup?
Another big number. San Diego favored by 12.5 points at home.
I'm sorry, I missed the game, Freddie.
Cleveland at the Chargers.
I'll take the Chargers to beat the crap out of the Cleveland Browns.
13,
what was the number?
13.5.
12.5. 12.5.
Oh, they have to beat the crap out of them if I'm going to take them. I think they do. You know, everybody talks about that 3-4 advantage. Well, guess what? They're playing a team that plays a 3-4. I'm looking for Phillip Rivers to have a huge day throwing the football. And LaDainian Tomlinson, I saw that he's got a little chip on his shoulder. Somebody told him that he'd lost a step, and he kind of said, well, what would I do if I hadn't lost a step? I think they're back rolling.
Okay. So both ways?
Yep.
All right. Tom?
Like I said, it's my cousin's week. Lay the numbers. Chargers big. Tomlinson big on the ground. Rivers does what he wants through the air. You know, Cleveland got their win last week against the Jets.
Sorry.
It's the greatest.
The woman with basketballs under her sweater.
Greatest station of all time.
Oh, my.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
All right.
Anyway, I'm going
to
take the Chargers.
We've come to a halt here. Because
the Chargers will win and cover. I think Romeo's going to have a tough time with all those weapons. Speaking of weapons.
PFW in progress at its worst. All right. Yeah, I'll go with Chargers to win the game, Cleveland to cover in this game. All right, 4:15, Broncos travel to the Steelers. The Steelers are reeling. I think it's safe to say that. However, and this I don't understand. Pittsburgh's favored by 3 points in this game. I don't understand that.
In Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh.
Give me a break. I wouldn't feel confident taking the Pittsburgh Steelers against anyone right now. Ben Roethlisberger. And I feel for him. He's had a pretty tough year between the accident and the concussion, the appendix. You know, I think there's reasons you can point to for his dismal play, but right now he's hurting his team more than helping it. I think the Broncos come in, run the football, play defense. It'll be a low-scoring game, and the Broncos win.
Okay. Well, I got no problem taking the Steelers. This is Jake Plummer's last stand, my boys. I said, whatchamacallit would be starting in 2 weeks, and whatever his name, Cutler. And I think the Steelers win easy.
Really?
Easy.
Now, tell me, like, what, I mean,
I don't,
what are the Steelers going to do on offense is the question.
What's the Broncos going to do?
Well, I know, but.
Because I think the running game is overrated this year. I think they can run it on bad teams, but when you get a good team like Pittsburgh who can bottle them up, they're 30th in passing offense. They have no passing game whatsoever. I think the Steelers will take away the run. They'll force Jake Plummer into making mistakes. And I don't think they'll do a lot on offense, Pittsburgh, but I think defensively they're going to set up the offense. I think I'm going against Jake Plummer here. I'm going with the Steelers defense over Jake Plummer.
Okay, Paul.
Yeah, no, I think Tom makes a lot of good points here because there's no way that Denver's going to have the amount of success on the ground that they're accustomed to against Pittsburgh. It's just not going to happen. But I just think that the injuries have really killed Pittsburgh's season. I mean, Roethlisberger has been so inconsistent all year and so bad when he's been down, and I just don't see him putting up any points or them establishing much of anything against the Broncos. I'm going to take Denver to win, but this is one of those games that causes me concern. You know, Pittsburgh's a good team. I don't care. They're out of it. I think they're done. But that doesn't mean that I think that they're a bad team. I think they're a good team that's had a very bad year and had a lot of bad things happen to it. And they're going to dig too much of a hole, and there's no way they're going to get out of it. But they're physically capable. I mean, look what they did to Denver at Denver last year in the playoffs. Oh, that game wasn't even close.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just think that right now they're heading in opposite directions, and I'm going to take Denver. But
yeah.
I'm not going to be surprised if I lose this one.
I mean, I got to go with the Broncos. I didn't think Pittsburgh would make the playoffs this year. I predicted that they would be out of the playoff race, so this is part of it. They had that post-Super Bowl meltdown, and, you know, a lot of it has to do with Roethlisberger, but I think also a lot of it has to do with, you know, Bettis just not being there, the leadership. You know, there's just a lot. Cowher in the beginning of the season, the questions about whether he's going to come back. They just didn't handle being champions that well. So I'm going to take the Broncos. All right. Let's skip over the Patriots game. We'll save that to last. We'll go to Monday night. The Raiders travel to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. And let's see. What do we got here? Oh, Seattle, favored by 7.5 in this game. Over the Raiders.
Still Seneca Wallace, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Still no Alexander another week, they said?
No, I guess he had a setback, too.
Yeah, just as we figured. It's always going to be another week. He'll be back next week. He'll be back next week. Pretty soon it'll be December.
And it's in Seattle? I'm going to take Seattle to win, but I'll take the points. I just don't think Seattle's a very good team right now, and with reason, you know, kind of like the Pittsburgh thing. I think there's obvious reasons you point to. You lose a franchise running back and a franchise quarterback, it's hard to stay good. But I think their defense makes enough plays. Hopefully Wallace won't hurt them. And it's the Raiders. So they're not going to do anything on offense, really. And they're probably not going to get the defensive scores they got last week. So I think it'll be a tight enough game so that the points will get it for the Raiders. But Seahawks win.
All right, Tom?
Yeah, if the Raiders had anything resembling quarterback play, I would take them in this game. But, I mean, Walter just hasn't been able to get anything going through the air, so you got to go with Seattle. But like I said last week, that Raiders defense, and I was saying, I just starting your boy Rob Ryan there, they're flying around. So
it's ridiculous.
The only thing flying around is his hair.
Yeah, they're playing good. I think it'll be close. I mean, who cares? I'm not even going to watch this game. I'll take the Raiders getting the points.
I'm going to make it 3-for-3. I think the Raiders defense has played pretty well. They've been on the field for 40 minutes a game. You know, they had 90 yards of offense last week, and they found a way to win the game. So I'm going to take the Raiders to cover, but Seattle to find a way to win.
Make it 4-for-4. Seattle to win, Raiders to cover. All right, final game, Sunday, 8:15. This is the big one. This is the Super Bowl right here, if it could happen. The Colts at Gillette Stadium to play the Patriots, and the Patriots are 3-point favorites in this game.
Well, based on the fact that everyone is picking the Patriots to win, I'm going to pick Patriots to win because I think they're the better team. I don't think 3 is a very big number at all. I don't think you even consider the point spread here. I think they run the ball very consistently to start the game, make their plays through the air. And as I said on the TV show, I think it'll be relatively easy. I think they'll play physical on defense, probably give up their yards and probably dig in, maybe force a couple field goals. But I'm going to stick with my 24, 28, 10, whatever it was that I predicted on the TV show.
Yeah, Fred, you asked how lines are made. My guess is after the Broncos game, the Colts would have opened as a one-point favorite. And then after Monday night, it swung back to an even game where they gave the Patriots 3 points after that impressive performance. It worries me a little bit that everybody's on the Patriots bandwagon. It seems to me they play better the other way around. And that's making me a little nervous. But I just, when your fullback's getting 25, 30 yards a carry, I just don't see how they can stop the Patriots' rushing attack. That'll open things up for Brady. I like a high-scoring game here, the Patriots to win 38-34.
Okay. Paul?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Patriots both sides as well. And I think everybody, as we always do when we play the Colts, people are going to focus on how are the Patriots going to stop those receivers and stop Manning, and Belichick owns Manning, and they're going to have to get pressure. And I'm going to say the key, again, in my opinion, is going to be on the Patriots' offensive side and how Brady keeps the ball, not just on the ground, but through the air as well. I agree with what Tom said. There's no way the Colts are going to stop the Patriots' running game, and there's no way they're going to stop the passing game. I think the Patriots are going to score too many points here, and the Patriots' defense is so much better than Indy's that they'll find a way to stop Manning enough times to win the game. I don't know, 34-24, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to agree. I'm going to go with the Patriots, both sides, to win the game and to win it by more than 3 points. It's always something. I think, it may not be as high as we think. It'll probably be, what did I say on the TV? 27,
I don't 14,
listen to you. Something like that. I'll stick with that. So there you have it.
Fred, does it worry you at all that not only just around here, but the national media, everyone's picking the Patriots?
It does worry me. But I think everyone was picking the Patriots over Minnesota, too, right? Weren't they?
Yeah, that's a different kind of animal,
Collins.
Though. Because you know if that was a close game, everybody would be picking the Colts in this game. Well, Manning's too...
Right.
I think you remember what you see last. We saw Manning against Denver, and we were like, wow, what a great offense. Then we saw the Patriots whoop on Minnesota. Now everyone's like, this team can't be stopped.
But more so, we really looked at the Colts defense, and that's what's, I think, driving everyone's
pick. It's the injuries, too. I mean, Sanders, Doss, Rieger, Simon, they're all injured. Yeah. And, the guys they got in there
certainly
aren't tackling.
And that shows you, we talked earlier about how can the Colts afford to pay all these players. Well, when they have those injuries, they can't rebound like the Patriots
those guys
do
that are in there
because
are
they don't have the talent across the board. The talent's all at the top. All right, let's take a break. We got plenty of time left. We got emails coming in, so we'll get to them right after this.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like.
You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's Home Equity Line of Credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America Home Equity Line of Credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Clint Dempsey of your New England Revolution. We're headed back to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. Another MLS Cup appearance and our first ever championship is the only goal.
Dempsey!
Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m., we'll kick off our quest for the Cup against Chicago Fire at Gillette Stadium, and we want you there.
New England is revved up for another postseason appearance and a trip back to MLS Cup. Playoff action and soccer passion explodes Saturday, October 28th at Gillette Stadium. Join 2006 Honda Player of the Year Clint Dempsey and the rest of the Revs on the quest for the Cup. With tickets starting at just $18, free parking, and free admittance to the interactive soccer theme park soccer celebration, New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun night for the whole family. Don't miss it! Be a part of the playoff passion by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your kicks, get your playoff ticks, and get the Revolution!
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, Taco Bell appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Okay, back here in PFW in progress. We just got done going around the NFL with our picks. We got about 15 to 18 minutes left in the show, so let's get back to some emails. We just had some Gridiron Grillers. Everybody had their fill. Everybody happy, except for Tom. He didn't have any. It's Tom's being a good guy.
It's called willpower, Fred.
Well, I know. I don't have any. You do.
You know what, Tom? You're right about that. That's exactly what it's called, and I have none.
But you have to eat. What are you going to have for lunch?
No, but I've had willpower instilled with me because of the diabetes, so that's why I can look at something that I'm dying to eat and not eat it.
You'd rather be dying to eat than die, right?
Right.
Is that fair?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love to eat. So that's all it is. It's just willpower, because I'd love to throw down four of those things.
But what
right
are you going to have?
So what do you like more? Do you love to eat more or little girls? Young girls.
Young girls.
Jeez.
He took it
to a whole new level there.
Legally, 18.
Right.
18,
I agree. He took it to a whole different level
I didn't mean that.
I mean, personally, I think 17 should be legal, but that's a discussion for another time.
Sure.
I like young girls.
In some states it is.
If she has an ID.
What are you going to have for lunch
be legal.
Today?
Well, I had a protein bar and a Slim Fast shake.
Oh, boy.
And then I'm going to have another granola bar before I go to the gym.
Are you going to hit the runway and be a model? What are you aiming for?
Apparently
say
not.
Say there's virtually no chance of that happening.
You're going to get rid of your last name. We'll just call you Tom. That'll be just like one name and, you know.
Well, Fred, this diet I'm on, it worked really well because I gained 25 pounds in less than a year. So it seems to be working.
All right.
How's your diet coming, Fred?
Good.
Yeah. What have you lost so far?
Half a pound. All right, let's go back to the emails. Amir writes in, I was
Tom's
totally horrified by ESPN's Monday Night Football coverage. The scary thing is they probably have Tony Kornheiler as a representative of every man. I turned the sound off and listened to the great Gino and Gil on the radio. Late in the game, I turned the sound back on and was horrified to
find
that Kornheiler had a man crush on Brady. Good thing Tom is securing his masculinity. I think Tony is a little too in touch with his feminine side.
Whoa. Tom's securing his masculinity?
He is.
I would question that.
Why?
He's a little feminine.
Yeah, but...
But he's securing. He doesn't care.
Yeah, but
so it's okay to be a little feminine, a little metro.
You have to remember that Kornheiser is much more than a sports writer. He's written things for feminist publications, books, stuff like that. That I read in I was actually surprised in college when I read him. He's like big into that kind of movement and stuff, so that's probably why he talks that way, because he really is that secure in himself.
Huh. By the way, speaking for all geeks that fix computers, I would just like to say that we are insulted at being compared to Childress. Any computer guy would have changed the coverage at halftime. You guys need sensitivity training.
Oh, that's not fair. I compared you to Lou Tepper.
I caught the PFW.
Who's Lou Tepper?
And they actually have had sensitivity training.
Yeah, we did.
But apparently it didn't take.
Fred really needs it, though.
And the guy kept telling me something about Japanese
people. There's that masculine Tom Brady
up
on the TV.
Is that a velvet jacket?
Gary,
you'd know. You probably have one.
I caught the PFW show this week, and I have to give you some honest critique.
Uh-oh.
The first segment of the show was as bad as anything ESPN ever did. All of you degenerated into talking at the same time, and I could not follow any of the conversations. It sort of reminded me of Michael Irvin and Steve Young going at it. You should work at some protocol to make sure that only one person talks at a time. It was very difficult to follow. The hostility between Paul and Fred added some entertainment value, though.
Tom and I did a fine job.
The rest of the show was pretty...
Wait. That was the positive part of the review. Did you hear him?
Oh, no, I wasn't listening.
It added
next time, get your head out of your other side.
Well, you were the guys that were talking over each other.
The rest of the show... The rest of the show.
Well, then he contradicted himself because he said you were talking over each other, and then if he praised it, he doesn't know what he wants.
The rest of the show
was
pretty good.
I don't think I was talking over anybody except for Fred right now.
Sure you were.
The rest of the show was pretty good once you guys settled down. Maybe it was post-game excitement that made the first segment so bad. In this coming game, I'd love to see the running game open up big time. I'd love to see some running back, fullback sets, formation, or power eye formation.
Oh, forget it.
When was the last time we saw a power eye?
Here's some critique. Watch some football instead of watching us.
Well, watch Patriots games.
Yeah.
And, you know,
power eye.
Tom, pretend you are Belichick. What is your game plan this week?
Not the power eye.
That was what I ran in high school.
No,
me too. Blue backfield.
No, we appreciate the feedback. It was a tough week for us. We were on a couple hours sleep there. I don't even remember doing the show.
It didn't have anything to do with it, though. We stink all the time. Had nothing to do with lack of sleep.
Yeah, but I don't think we really talk over each other that much on this show.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I do remember the argument that Fred and I had at the end of it, but I don't remember us all talking
about it. I agree with you that it stinks. I just don't think we talk over each other.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't even remember the argument.
Anyway. If anything, we look at each other to see who's going to talk.
Right. And just so you know, you didn't catch us on a bad week. We're always
we looked worse than normal, though.
We were on New England Cable News.
No question. I looked so bad today that I actually had Ken Flanders come in my office and ask me, you know, if I was tired or
today?
Sick. Yeah.
He does that a lot. He's always asking me about time.
But to answer the emailer, it's hard to not talk over each other because Fred tries to dominate the show. I mean, it should be Fred and Chris Collins.
It is the Fred Kerr show.
And we can't get a word in edgewise with this guy.
Which is surprising, Fred, because in our previous stop on the WB, you weren't it used to be the Brian Morey show.
He's showing off for Chet Curtis and all those big wigs that are out in the newsroom.
I don't know why I didn't think of that. Right from the very start.
Mr. Curtis, how are you? Fred Kirsch.
Mr. Curtis, if you need me for a spot on NPR this week, I'll be available.
Did you notice it again this week? We're waiting to go on and somebody comes out of the control room. Oh, Fred, how are you? Everybody knows Fred.
See, here's where, you know.
He doesn't take it well?
Yeah, it just degenerates. He shuts us off. He's not even paying attention.
I'm reading the next email. It comes from, anyway, it comes from somebody who sends us.
You read that far ahead and you couldn't.
Anyway, before you get to the next email, Fred, he did ask a football question. We kind of joked about it.
Well, he wanted to know what Tom's game plan would be.
With the eye for me. I mean, I'm not saying that they're never going to have Heath Evans in front of either Dillon or Maroney, but I would highly doubt that's going to be the dominant game plan.
Well, they have had him in front of them.
That's what I just said. I'm not saying they won't do it
not
in
a
any
great
play,
blocker,
but
a power eye?
Well,
no chance.
There's no chance of a power eye, which is actually three backs in the backfield. I don't think that's necessarily what he's talking about. But I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of Heath Evans lined up at fullback in front of Maroney or Dillon. You might see it on a short yardage play here or there. I just don't think it'll be a major part of the game plan. That's not what they do.
And I think the game plan is going to be everything. I think they're going to run it. I think they're going to run no huddle and throw it. I think they're going to do whatever they feel like doing. Whatever matchup they feel is right at that time, they'll do it.
A friend of ours sends us a link from CBS Sportsline. I guess it's a story about Belichick and what he wears. He says he doesn't ever don a jersey or a suit for that matter.
That
but with
on
his
like
Patriots
pants.
6-1 heading into a showdown.
Oh, he doesn't don a jersey? Except for Tony La Russa jersey. He said he's worn multiple times.
Heading into a showdown with the Colts, it's time to recognize Bill Belichick for what he is, the most important asset in all of sports. I would tend to agree. Let's see. Vince writes in, and he says, what's up with the injury report? We have so many players on it, I'm wondering if we're pulling a Colts injury report where we list a bunch of players.
I believe that's called pulling a Patriot.
I was going to say, I think the Colts are pulling a Patriots. I think the Colts are trying to, you know, get involved in some gamesmanship.
Let's see. Dwayne says, I have one question. In what areas can the Colts, other than Hall of Fame passing offense, beat the Patriots?
Dwight Freeney before this
pass
year.
Rush.
I'm a little worried about Dwight Freeney of this year since he has a half a sack, but
I would say that's it.
The Dwight Freeney versus Matt Light matchup is one of those that's given Light a lot of problems. And if Graham can't go, which I don't really know what the deal is there.
He's missed three games
Paul proclaimed
row, right?
him fine after seeing him walk through the locker room today or yesterday. But if he can't go, he's been a staple of the Graham Light versus Freeney matchup.
But that's not even half of it, Andy. I took it a step further, Fred. I said that Graham could have played last week, but they knew they didn't need him because they weren't going to run the ball.
Right? I agree.
So they kept him out, and now this
could
week
be, Paul.
Now this week they'll need him, so he has an extra week of rest.
I mean,
or
I know.
Could go on IR tomorrow,
or we could never see him again.
Too close to call, really.
He could end up with GDI Walmart.
Dwayne goes on. I mean, I know Peyton Manning and company have the firepower through the air to beat the Pats, but it is so rare to see a team do one thing and beat the Pats, and it seems the only thing the Colts do well is pass the football. It is a Hall of Fame passing offense, but the Pats have shown that they can disrupt its rhythm. Time and time again, teams come in with high-flying offenses and tons of hype every time the Pats give the team a beatdown. Also, I just don't see how the Colts can stop Maroney. Here is the upset of the week, Miami over the Bears. The Bears will be completely shut down by Miami's D. It's classic AFC versus NFC. I just have an idea that Chicago's corners can't stay with Miami's wideouts, and after a bye week, Miami will put up their first decent day on offense. Also, if Grossman had trouble with Minnesota and Arizona's D, who's to say he will fare any better with Miami's?
I think that's an interesting
theory.
I still think the Bears can flick on their scoring defense anytime they want, it seems like, and score.
Didn't have any trouble with Buffalo's D either. Fred, can you give me that paper for a second?
Sure. The other edge we forgot to give the Colts is kicker. They do that better than the Patriots. And I would say they can run the ball. You know, they're not going to line up and pound it, but I think they can run the ball with some success.
And look pretty good.
Adai averages over 5 yards a carry.
Right.
Now, the other guy's done nothing. Rhodes.
He's more
been their short yardage
line,
guy.
Yeah, short yardage.
And he's, you know, his average has not been good. But I wanted to, you know, this whole thing I wanted to look at here a little bit. The whole notion of, you know, we've seen it time and time again where they've shut him down. Well, I think we've seen it in the playoffs both times, mm-hmm. where they've disrupted the passing game. And those are the, you know, far and away Manning's the really, really two bad games where he completed less than 50% in one of them and then no touchdowns in the other, and they were big Patriots wins. But all the other games, virtually every other game that Manning has played against Belichick, I mean, Manning had 106.9 passer rating in a game that they lost for one of these games that you know, Belichick owns him. That was one of the, you know, he had a 95.7 one. Passer rating with four touchdowns in a game that Indy lost. He had 93.5 passer rating in a game that the Indy lost. So I think this whole notion of that we've seen them disrupt the passing game time and time again is a little bit misleading. I think we've seen it really twice in the playoffs where they've dominated and the other games have been much closer. Now, the Patriots are better, so they find a way to win.
James from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. No long breakdown on the game this week, just a prediction on how the game will go. If the Patriots can protect the ball and not turn it over, then I see the Pats offense putting up some big numbers on the Colts defense. The Patriots will not need Gostkowski to win this one, and Vinatieri will not be the deciding factor either. Sure, he'll get his field goals, but without the benefit of turnovers to give Manning the short field, they will not be able to score enough to keep up with the Patriots. Final score, Patriots 34, Colts 24.
Yeah, I definitely can see that. That's exactly the kind of game I'm envisioning.
Okay.
Which means it won't happen, James. We're out.
Phil from Austin says, I think the fans will cheer Adam at the start of the game, and they'll cheer a lot louder if he misses a kick. Do you guys think Ellis Hobbs covers Marvin Harrison without a lot of help?
Not unless they're trying to throw the game.
Yeah.
Maybe on third down if Marvin Harrison ends up in the slot. Because that's basically what Ellis Hobbs is doing right now, right?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
Well, kind of had an argument of who the team's number one corner was. Ellis Hobbs.
I thought that was one of those ones you didn't even believe.
Yeah, but I don't like looking really bad when the guy doesn't start anymore.
Look, there's a chance that...
I had him in the Pro Bowl.
there's a chance that they're trying to keep him inside for a reason, you know, while he deals with this wrist injury. I don't know. But the last, two games or three games...
Two.
Chad Scott's been the starter with Samuel, and Hobbs comes in passing situations in the slot.
You talked about Graham maybe perhaps being able to play last game, but they're holding him out. Yeah, another guy you might look at the same way is Eugene Wilson. Eugene Wilson's had some pretty good games against the Colts. He knows maybe he's another guy that could be a factor this game.
That'd be nice. He bores me, and I don't think he's ever going to be a factor, not as long as I'm alive.
Well, he has been in the past
against
the Colts.
Well, a lot of things happen in the past,
Fred. I think
Fred.
You're right.
Let's see, Simon.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
Right.
I think to back up your point, Fred, when he missed two games with a hamstring and everybody kind of said, well, they're better off without him, and then he came back and he started when he came back. So I think Bill might agree with you.
Simon says, I'm getting excited.
I'd like to see him have one good game.
Hopefully
it'll
be this week.
Then I'll go over to your side.
All right. I'm getting excited about
watching. That's all it takes with Tom. One game, he's like that. Flicks the switch. The guy stinks. One game, he's good.
I've been here for a year. I ain't seen one yet.
I'm getting excited about watching the big game, which I will be watching Monday lunchtime here via my mega satellite dish.
Where's this?
Let's
Where's
see
here?
Where he's from. He's from Thailand. This is the guy from Phuket.
It's Phuket. Actually pronounced Phuket.
By the way, all you guys are invited to stop over here in the Holiday Center of Phuket, Thailand, when you have to go to the China Bowl next year. My question is, do you think the Pats fans in the stadium might actually get up for this game? I'm hoping that they make so much noise that Peyton won't be able to hear himself think. And Brady was right. Vinatieri does look like a big girl in that white uniform. My prediction is overtime with a 24-24 score at the end of normal time, and with Gostkowski scoring to win in overtime to wipe the smile off of Adam's face.
That would be cool. I think overtime and a field goal in overtime would be cool no matter which way it goes.
You guys would have to get the defibrillator up because I might have a heart attack.
You and Bill Polian?
I don't think that the noise is going to do anything, though, because this stadium has never been as loud as Denver, and that didn't really seem to rattle Manning. So I just don't see it bothering him.
You know what rattles him when he walks out and there's snow falling and it's freaking cold and he can
playoffs.
See his breath? And
wind or rain and snow?
Okay.
That will rattle him.
Let's see, Phil from Austin, again, in response to the question about the Colts and the salary cap, Manning's cap numbers are backloaded, while the Patriots tend to avoid backloaded contracts. And then he goes from 2006 to 2010 with the two players cap numbers for those years. And
what, you mean Brady being the other
player? Brady versus Manning.
Because what's because I thought Brady's going to have to be redone soon.
Well, 06, according to this, Manning is $10 million, Brady is $8.8 million. 07, Manning is $7.69 million, Brady's $10.8 million. 08, Manning goes way up to $18.1 million, Brady goes to $12.8 million. 09, Manning's still going up, $20.69 million, Brady's $12.8 million. And 10, Manning goes down a little, but not much, $19.95 million. Brady's cap number, 11.3 point. Now, I don't know if this is right.
So I think they are right, but both of those guys will have to be addressed before that third to last year.
Yeah, but not so much Brady. I mean, 20 million cap number?
What difference does it make what it is? It needs to be addressed. Well, just like 12 is going to need to be addressed.
I'm thinking, though, that you could deal with Brady's.
No, I don't think so.
With the way the cap's going up?
Yeah, with the way the Patriots run.
I was going to say.
I'm sure you're right.
They got an extra $7 million on the cap right now. They could swallow that. Swallow the full 12, right, Paul?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW Progress.
What is wrong with you?
We'll be back on Friday tomorrow with another edition, getting closer to this big game. I don't know. It's going to be big. So get your emails ready for tomorrow. And who's on the show tomorrow?
It's the same person that's been with you for 2 years, me.
Oh, so me and Tom. Okay, and then these guys will stop down because Felger will be here. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.